House will come to order. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 208. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 208 from Representative Burkhart, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 208, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. No. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards. Eklund. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart. Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne, Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Barlow, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Pelkey, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Bird, aye to no. Are there further changes? Miller, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 31 aye, 29 no.
House Bill 208, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 208 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 216. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 216 from Representative Berger, an act relating to veterans, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There are amendments. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been hacking up opposition to this bill for the last couple of days, and so I would I think the body knows how I feel, and so I would respectfully withdraw this amendment.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 216 has been withdrawn. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 216 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been chatting on this bill for the last couple of days, too, and I think you know where I stand on the bill. This is a win-win situation for the state of Wyoming and for veterans of Wyoming. I've taken your advice. It's the third reading amendment is the same as you saw yesterday, only I added another sideboard, and that's at the bottom of the first page, and that is if you were to eventually, through this long process of applying for the federal funds, and the design process that we go through, if we were successful working with the task force, the military affairs, the Department of Health, the whole process, and we were to succeed and we came back, we would have the opportunity to develop those plans, and it would go through a review process, and then if we could expend those funds, it would be approved. And so that's on page 12, line 7, lines 37 through 44. And at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, if it did not meet the approval of this body, that loan would not be approved. And so with that, I would ask for a favorable aye.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rising on and against the amendment and against the bill, Folks, this does not fix the problem. All this does is say that after we've agreed to spend the monies, that then they just take the existing plans and run those through the State Building Commission and the Veterans through the State Building Commission. That doesn't mean that we, as a body, get to look at the Level 1 and Level 2 designs. It doesn't mean that we're going to approve those after we see them, and we decide that that's what we want to do, and that's those are the designs we want. So this is a tack on, and it doesn't fix the problems, any of the problems that we talked about yesterday. So if you think that it does, I would respectfully submit it does not. Thank you.
Representative Swanser, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd push back just a little bit. Since I've been on the Building Commission now as an ex officio for 8 years, I don't know how many of you all look at all the Level 1 and Level 2 design plans, but I would submit to you that most of you don't. I just know that about appropriations, and we do, and that's about it. So this is really nothing different than the process we use on most every other project that comes through this body and then State Building Commission. There is another sideboard on this today. I don't know how many more sideboards we need, but I feel comfortable and feel it's appropriate we vote in favor of the bill at this point. I wasn't as strong supporter on the first reading, but I think the good majority floor leader has done her homework. She's worked with all parties, and this bill is ready to move on to the next body. So I would encourage your support of the amendment and of the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen. I have served in many different capacities, and I believe that we are very responsible when it comes to looking at developments that serve the people of Wyoming, and I believe that we do have the processes in place, and even though we have a model that is accepted that could allow us to qualify for the funding that would be twice the match of what we would potentially put up that is actually a loan, we will have the capability of reviewing that plan at the end of the day prior to giving out any loan, which I'd like to remind you would be repaid even if it was approved. I think that this is a terrific opportunity for Wyoming, its citizens, its veterans, and for us to work with the division to make the best modern facility for those that have served us. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 216. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 216 has failed. House division being called for. All in favor, please stand. Like I said, third reading amendment number 2 has passed the House. House Bill 216 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi. Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 37 aye, 23 no.
House Bill 216, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 216 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 222. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 222 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to sibling visitation rights, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 222 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards. Eklund. Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart. Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
no.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson, Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Esquivel, aye to no. Berger, aye to no. Kasparik, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 7 aye, 53 no.
House Bill 222, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 222 has failed to pass the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 231. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 231 from Representative Baker, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 231, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi. Yagi? Yagi?
Yeah.
Jennings. Kasparik. Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux. Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 5 no.
House Bill 231, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 231 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please.
Folks, up behind you in the gallery on the west side is my dad, also Weston County Commissioner Tracy Hunt.
Madam Majority, floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Zwanitzer Dan.
Committee of the Whole, come to order. First and only bill for our consideration today is House Bill Number 1. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 1 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of the state government, and it is signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that House Bill 1 do pass. And, Mr. Chairman, then we would move for discussion of the bill. And, folks, just for our organization, I think it's been delivered to your tray, this long, detailed summary sheet. And, folks, if you'll notice on the bottom where I've initialed it, bottom right-hand corner, the first page, I kind of initialed and drew an arrow to a disclaimer, and this is not official, as the budget bill is the official document, and it is simply a summary sheet. So when you're referring and talking with constituents and working, that, you know, it's, I'm sure it's probably perfect, but it's not the official document that will go into law. And so I think it's important to realize that. So we'll call this then the detailed summary sheet. Okay, and folks, in this colored sheet that I passed out to you, I believe last week, had distributed, so we'll call this the colored summary sheet. Okay, so we'll kind of work with these documents as we move forward. And then, of course, if you have House Bill 1, I think it'd be important to take that out of your drawer now. Should be in its own folder. Budget bill should be in its own folder there. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I think, members, the first thing I'd like to do is if you would open your bill to the very last page to the fiscal note. 146-page bill. I would say this is, you folks who are sophomores, maybe in your second term, will remember back 2 years ago when your very first time on this floor, we had the largest supplemental budget in history because we made cuts to really every agency. And so in order to change the budget, we had to pull in the entire budget. And usually the budget bill will pull in a quarter, a third of the agencies in a supplemental type budget. So you figure around 100 agencies. 2 years ago, we pulled in like 97 out of 100. Okay, and in this budget bill, we pull in about 26 agencies that have requested changes. A couple de-appropriations, some adds, some changes of language, those type of things. So if you look at your fiscal note, when you see on the back page, this bill contains an appropriation of $8.7 million from general fund. This is the smallest appropriation of general fund in over two decades in a supplemental budget bill. And then you'll see in the short summary sheet, we have appropriations from what we call contingent revenues, which would be capital gains, and we'll talk more about those probably tomorrow as we work through the budget. But as far as general fund, this is by far the smallest supplemental appropriation budget, like say in two decades, longer than anyone has been on this floor, certainly. Okay, members, then the next thing, just for organization, if you'd flip over your budget bill to page 2, and if you would, you can see it starts like every bill, it starts with definitions. And as you work down through page 2, like on line 12 of page 2, D, it says A4 means agency trust account. So you'll see some fund or some budget that might have, it'll have a code where the money comes from. GF is pretty easy. That's general fund. FF is federal fund. But you'll see some of these you might not recognize. And so like A4 means an agency trust account. Line 14, EF, agency's account within the enterprise fund. FF, federal funds, and so on. And so you can see that there's several pages of these. As you flip over to page 4, one that you'll see more commonly on page 4, line 2, is S5. And that's school foundation program account. And so when we get to agencies 206 and 205, and we talk about recalibration, those kind of things, you'll see that account. And so these definitions then follow through page to the bottom of page 5 on different accounts. And then it goes into section 2 of the bill, which I would ask you then to flip to page 6 of the bill. Okay, and so you can see on page 6, members, that on line 1 it says section 2, Secretary of State. But before we move that and move to discuss, I want to direct you back to your detailed summary sheet. And you'll see that the detailed summary sheet, the first thing on there, it has Section 1, Office of the Governor. And you'll say, well, why is Office of the Governor on the detailed summary sheet, but it's not in the bill? And the answer to that is that we made no changes to the governor's budget. So we wouldn't bring him into the supplemental bill because we made no changes. What the detailed summary sheet basically tells you is our action. And on the governor's budget. And you can see, if you look at your detailed summary sheet, you basically have three large columns. And the first one is the governor's recs. Okay, and you can see it consists of four: general fund, federal fund, other fund, and total. The next column are JAC recs, our actions. And then you can see the third column is really the bill, last year's budget bill, plus any action that we've taken. So these are the grand totals. Sometimes some of that can get confusing. Most of what we're going to work on are these first two columns off this summary sheet: the governor's requests and our actions. That's where most of the action and what we're going to, our discussions are going to be about. So back to this, why the governor's section 001 is not in the budget bill, but it's on your detailed summary sheet. You can see that under Homeland Security, the governor requested $297,684. And you can see that little one beside Homeland Security. See the little numeral one? And that references you to a little descriptor down below. Follow the one down. It says JAC denied the Gov's request for $297,684 general fund for disaster contingency replacement funds. So when you see the action there, and it's got a little number, that number will reference you to a short descriptor of our action. And so you can see the governor's request is a positive number. You can see our action, we denied it. And so then there's really no change to the governor's budget. And so hence, there's no Section 1 in the bill. This will happen about 3 or 4 times, okay? So it's not going to happen a lot, but there's a couple instances where it will. So that's one where we denied. So with that, members and Mr. Chairman, this is the procedure we'll use. I would move section 002 of the budget, and that is Secretary of State, Mr. Chairman. And members, if you want to look at your detailed summary sheet, you can see on page one of your detailed summary sheet, it says under administration there are two requests, number one and number two. And you can see the governor requested $735,000 for hosting and operational support, voter registration, election management. That is commonly known as the HAVA system. We only funded 1 year of it last year, and we said, we want you to come back and make your request for your second year. Most things we fund on a biennial budget. This item we did not, so they had to come back to us. This is a federal mandate. We've explored every way we could to not do it and to get out of it and try to do something different, but it's really not possible, and so this is one of those things we have to do at $735,000. The next note there is JEC adopted the Gov's request of $51,700 general fund and footnote number three for publication of a constitutional amendment. And so you can see then on page seven of your bill the new language in section 002. And the new language is underlined, and that is footnote three. And that talks about us paying for the constitutional amendment publication. And that was the constitutional amendment in the last election. See, we pay for these after the fact. And that was the constitutional amendment, you might remember, to allow a non-state resident to be on the University of Wyoming Board of Trustees. And that failed. Regardless, we have to pay for the amendment to be published. So that's what that request is. Now, how that affects the money, I don't know how far I want to, but how this affects the money, then you can see the governor's request, $786,000. So we accepted that request, so it's really zero on our part. And then it comes across, and that $786,000 then is those two requests, $735,000 and $51,700 added together is a total of $786,000. So if you look on your page six of your budget bill, I just want to show you how it affects the numbers on the general fund. If you look on page, and I won't take this much time with every budget, but I thought this first one we'd take a little time. You can see that on line four of page six, under administration, you can see $7,847,610. And it's got a line drawn through it. That's what we appropriated last year, this body. And now we have added to that the $786,700. And so that's the new total with an underlining under it. So that's where the money comes in on that. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for any questions on Section 3.
Section 2, Chairman Hirschman.
2, excuse me.
Are there any questions on Section 2, members? And what we're going to do is approve each section at a time. So, if there are no questions, question being called on Section 2 of the budget bill, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Section 2 passes Committee of the Whole. We're now on to Section 4. Chairman Hirschman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And now, members, if you would turn to page 2 of your detailed summary sheet, and it's page 8 of your budget bill. And, Mr. Chairman, at this time I'd move Section 4 of the budget, but I'd also like to discuss why Section 3 is on your detailed summary and it is not in your budget bill. And you can see Section 3 on your detailed summary is a state auditor. It's not in the bill. And there's two things that happened here. You can see there was a governor's request for the Department of Audit for $8 million. Well, that was really it. And if you read the note underneath, note number one, it was to cover Department of Health shortfall in the Title 25 placements. And usually if we set aside them, and the request was to set this money in a special account in the auditor's office. We denied that. Secondly, there is an appropriation request for the auditor. We allow the other elected officials, not just the governor, to submit letters to the legislature requesting appropriations. So the auditor's letter did come to appropriations, but after kind of the governor's letter process. And so it is included, the auditor's request, but it's in a later section, in section 345 of the budget. You'll see that in that colored detail sheet, or colored summary sheet. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow, but there are no changes then to the auditor's budget. That's why it is not in your budget bill. And so now, Mr. Chairman, back to Section 4, the state treasurer. And, Mr. Chairman, you can see that JC denied the governor's rec number 8 for $2,595,290. To correct a severance tax distribution overpayment. Long story on that, and I'll keep it short. It's been on the books since the late 80s, early 90s. We just didn't feel this is the time we needed to pay that. And it's an overpayment to a few communities. It'll stay on the books, you know, for another year at least. And we'll probably continue to talk about it. And we just have not decided to come up with that $2.5 million. It's been there for over two decades. Didn't feel now was the time that we had to pay that. Okay? Someday we will have to pay it, though. So that's where we're at on that, Mr. Chairman. And then note number 2 there on manager payments for Section 04, State Treasurer. You can read on your detailed summary, JAC denied the Gov's rec of $665,250 in special revenue. Now, these were out of investment funds. But it was a hit to the general fund because less would return to the general fund for increased salaries in 3 positions and 1 new position. And you can see the ask was $665,000. We decreased that by $365,000 and we added $299,000 increase to 2 positions and added a footnote capping, and that footnote is on page 9 of your bill. And that caps the salaries of the chief investment officer position and the senior investment officer. And so that was our action on that. So we denied the position. We denied the totality of the increase, and we capped it at a certain amount. $250,000 was the cap for the investment officer and $152,000 for the senior investment officer. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
That's not in Section 4, Madam Minority Floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those investment positions are obviously extremely important to the state of Wyoming. Are we sure we've given the state treasurer enough ability to go out and hire really good people? So just for the benefit of the body, our most recent state investment officer left us for a much higher paying job, not in the private sector, but in another state.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question deals with this overpayment of severance tax, and for all these years I've been too bashful to get up and ask what this is all about, but now I'm not anymore. So I want to know, it says it's an overpayment, who'd we overpay to, or who, if it was overpaid to somebody, then it was, you know, under not paid by someone else, and I don't know who the parties to this is. But if you tell me now, I won't ever have to ask again in my career. I know that.
Representative Nicholas? Nope. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to first ask the question about the severance tax, or answer that question, severance tax overpayment. That was really an overpayment to cities, towns, and counties. And we know how much and to who. We can certainly get that list to you. There's been a lot of discussion and consternation over it, and I have my own thoughts about it and how I'd like to have it paid back. Might not be in the majority. And so this thing has been on the books forever, but it is our local governments that were overpaid, and we've got to figure a way to balance those books. So that's the answer to that question. The answer from the good representative from the capital city, she is right about our chief investment officer, who we probably don't realize until these things happen, left to a neighboring state and doubled his salary. And so then we start studying all these issues, and our treasurer's office, our agency 4, really does a tremendous job. And we've kind of taken that for granted, I think. And we've had some really pretty experienced treasurers who've occupied that office for the last decade or so and or more. And this one individual's been there for over 10 years. And so part of the idea was to really create an office that's going to sustain itself through these elections and through transitions, because we're talking managing of billions of dollars. And then all these relationships with other managers that manage portions of our funds. So to answer the question, do we think this is enough? There was an ask for a new position. Well, when we looked into the agency, one of those positions was vacant for 21 months. And we just thought, we're not going to add a new position. When you've got an open position, it wasn't quite at the right salary band. And so we renegotiated all that. Did not add any new positions, but we bumped up the salaries and kind of classified them as such. Now, this $250,000 cap, it's referenced to us that they will not go out and hire somebody right at the cap. That gives them an opportunity to maybe hire a person well under that, but gives them room to grow that over time. Because once we set the cap, if you're at the cap, the only way you can move is if we move the cap. And so that's really the plan for these positions, but to really get a stable investment team for our billions of dollars of portfolio. So, yes, so the question is it too much, is it not enough, or is it Goldilocks, is it just right? And we think this is just about right, and through all our discussion. So thank you for the question.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the cap of the $250,000, the explanation that you just got is quite reasonable. But you got to understand that what we had was our chief investment officer that we lost to a neighboring state at double what we were at a cap to pay. So it's really important that we give the state treasurer the latitude to hire somebody of that caliber again. And secondly, a question for the chairman. On the amount of the treasurer's operations on the overpayment, would it be better if we could, perhaps not this time, but next time at the budget session, that we consider classifying that as with a bill or a special function as an uncollectible debt? That was recommended by the former state treasurer and might be a relief to some of the counties and cities that have already had those funds and have expended them, rather than looking at trying to get a repayment out of a reduced income that they have today.
Further discussion on Section 4, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate, I think it's good that we're all kind of reminded of this outstanding debt that's been rolling. This overpayment for a couple of decades, you could do that. I think that's has its own problems as well, though. And I think, we'll continue to discuss this, but I don't think this is an emergency type thing that we have to pay for. It's been there longer than any of us have been here, and it might be here a while longer yet. So that's my, any other questions, or I'd call for the question on Section 4.
Question being called. All those in favor of Section 4 say aye. Opposed say no. Section 4 is passed, Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 6, Administration Information. Representative Nicholas.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 6 of Budget Amendment Number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, the easiest way to do this really is to go to your detailed summary sheet. The first component, $154,000, we concurred with the governor's request, and this is just for hosting and maintaining the agency's accounts receivable system. They just came and made a short presentation on what the additional funds were for and said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They asked for two new positions. These were actually going to be transferred over from the ETS for $213,000, and we denied that the governor's recommendation on that. Then the third action we took was that they made a presentation of ongoing costs for various utility costs for various state properties around the state and needing to make sure that fund was properly financed. And so we approved the $671,879 of general funds for those utilities. If you will look at then go to your budget bill, you'll see the footnote, which is number 3. basically, this is just instruction to the ANI to re-examine the mechanism by which it is now paying for seniority positions for state employees. We just wanted to have an examination of it, kind of put a couple outlines of what to consider and to come back with a report to us. And finally, we adopted at the Gov's Rec for $40,000 for digitization of the enrolled acts. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer it. Otherwise, I'd move for the question.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just maybe get a little further information on footnote 3. I realize it's not a requirement of the change, but I know the governor really did just make his change to go toward merit pay. If we could hear a little bit more about what the committee's expectation was as far as compensation based on longevity, if that is a sort of a regression from the merit pay movement or what your thinking was on that.
Representative Nicholas.
To answer that question, this really is unrelated to that. This is just the longevity for state employees and how it's paid out and how much they're paid per month. Or for their years of service. And I have a printout of the sheet, but I left it in the JC room of what state employees pay now. But every state employee, after being employed for so long with the state of Wyoming over a period of time, they get a bump of $25 a month or something to that effect. And basically, this is just going to evaluate that longevity payout thing, see if it's appropriate, see if we're paying enough or too much, and if there are other possibilities on for coming up with a payout mechanism. So it's revenue neutral. It's just examining the process, what we do now, and seeing if we should modify it.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at this on, I wasn't going to ask, but while I'm here, but footnote 3, where we're $672,000 for utilities, general fund utilities, explain that. Shouldn't that be figured in a budget? And then we are increasing 2 full-time employees here. Is that what this says? Thank
you. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer that first question on the utilities, this is a combination of 2 things. First, it's a new building, which is only a small part of this, but a building across the street from the Capitol that has been purchased by the state within the last year. Required additional money for utilities. So that's a small portion of it. But the other portion is primarily for state offices in the capital city to reflect increased rates that they're paying for both electricity and gas and that sort of thing. And we pushed them pretty hard on this because when we went through the budget cuts 2 years ago, this was the primary place where they got their budget cuts was out of cuts to their utilities budget. So But they came through and made a pretty good case that the rates have increased significantly over the last year and they needed this.
Chairman Hushman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think was the question I want to make sure I heard right. The request was for 2 new positions in the budget division. The JAC denied that request. And so if you look at, I'm on the detailed summary sheet, number 2, JAC denied the Gov's request for $213,000 for 2 new positions and associated costs. So that was a request, but we denied it.
Other Representative Greer.
Yeah, so, Mr. Chairman, and maybe for the good gentleman with the question, what you're seeing there, if you look at the bill, I didn't bring my bill up, but those are 2 part-time positions that were in the 2000 or in our last biennial bill. They're not being added in. So you got to look at the 2 columns on the left to see what the governor had recommended 2. Then you'll slide over, okay, and see the negative 2 off of that recommendation, which still leaves us with 235. So when you look at your bill, you'll see there's 235. And then you'll see in our last budget there were 2 part-time positions there. So hopefully that explains that. Okay.
Other discussion on Section 6? Question being called. All in favor of Section 6 of the budget, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 6 is passed. We're now on to Section 7, Wyoming Military Department. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. And just for clarification of Section 6 one more time, If you saw my utility bills this year from last year, you'd realize why they needed an increase. So I would move Section 7 of the supplemental budget and ask for your favorable recommendation. Folks, this is really simple. I talked about this a little bit ago. The only thing we're doing here on Wyoming Military Department is, you recall, there's a bill that passed this House and is now over on the other side, making it a statutory change on what we pay for the funeral teams that go to, for veterans. This is what we've been doing in the past. We've just been doing it through a budget footnote. So this budget footnote basically continues that practice of adding an extra $100 until that bill passes, hopefully on the other side.
Call for the question. Further discussion, Section 7. All those in favor of Section 7, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 7 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now in the Section 10 Department of Agriculture. Vice Chair Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 10, Department of Agriculture, page 4 on your detail summary sheet and page 14 on your bill. Mr. Chairman, the JAC denied the governor's rec for 21,000. It's on.
Just speak closer to the mic, Representative Moniz.
Way close, okay. Can you hear me now? No? I'll find a different one. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Chairman, the JAC...
Vice Chair Moniz.
The JAC denied Gov's rec for $21,300 in general fund for equipment. The JAC adopted the governor's rec for $244,500 in general funds for laboratory accreditation assistance and added footnote 3, page 16 of the bill. JAC denied the governor's request for $68,230 in general fund for lab equipment. The JAC denied governor's rec for $250,000 for state fair operations. And finally, Mr. Chairman, the JAC denied the governor's rec for $200,000 general fund for equipment for state fair. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions.
Questions on Section 10. Question being called. All in favor of Section 10, Department of Agriculture, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 10 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on the Section 14, Miners Hospital Board. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 14, Miners Hospital Board, page 5 of your cheat sheet and page 17 of your bill. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted the governor's rec of $107,118 to convert the three current AWET positions to one full-time and two part-time positions, which is an increase in the total authorized compensation. These positions are the sum of the entire staff for the board. Currently, the board is suffering from too much turnover in an agency that has increased obligations to continue to adequately serve its client. This funding has no impact on the general fund. Instead, it's paid from other funds, specifically the Miners Hospital Agency Fund, which can absorb the increases. And I'll stand for any questions.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you. Since there's not a physical building, can you tell me what the discussion was in JAC about what those funds are used for, $7 million?
Representative Connolly.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chairman Harvey, I can get you the detailed summary of that, but it is my understanding that what you have is one full-time person and two part-time people who administer the funds for minors all over the state. They have numerous programs, including, for example, a hearing aid program and the administration of funds for, they have 7,500 clients that they deal with per year. And so the administration of those services is done with these one full-time and two part-time people.
Other discussion on Section 14? Seeing none and question being Rep. Chairman Harvey, welcome back.
So they've got one full-time and two part-time. They administer funds throughout the state. I know they have a van that does hearing tests for minors, and they run a hearing aid program. How much money goes into the fund and comes out of the fund? And what my question is that do they maintain a hefty balance.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Miners Hospital Board are those three people, and the Miners Hospital goes back to the Act of Admission. And it was 30,000 acres of land granted to the state for this specific purpose. And over the years, some of that land has been sold. Some of it still sits in the trust. But currently, there's a balance in that account of about $55 million in the corpus and about $30 million, give or take a little bit, in the earnings account. There are two accounts. Out of that earnings account, you have the operation of the Miners Hospital Board, because there's no more Miners Hospital in the state. And they average around $1.6, $1.5 million a year that they can use, and it's statutorily set how much of the earnings they can use each year to provide those services to the miners. And as the good representative said, it's hearing aids, it's cardiopulmonary function testing, and some other things that the miners would get. They make up the difference in some treatments and some matters that aren't paid for by workers' compensation or might not be directly attributable back to a specific accident at the mines, but would be a health issue related to their work in the mines. And so that's the amount of money they have in there at this time, which they use. And the money for the three positions comes from that statutory amount that they're allowed to use every year. They can just really use it. We appropriate it, but there's not much based on the statutes that we control over that.
Representative Baker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a lot of heartburn with this agency, but I guess my question goes back to the two part-time positions. So are both of those part-time positions going to be benefited positions now?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, both of those positions will be benefited as regular part-time employees of the state, as will the one full-time position. The two part-time positions, one of them is in the mining city in the northeast corner of the state, and the other one is in the mining city of the southwest corner of the state, thus the need to have two people so that there's not a lot of travel. And they are part-time based on the needs and the requests for services that occur in those two towns.
Mr. Minority Caucus Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the previous speakers had mentioned the van that drove around the state, and I really liked that program because it was able to get to a lot of the retired miners in different parts of the state. They weren't just centraled in the southwest corner and the northeast corner of the state. And I would like to hear some more discussion about the budget cut that caused us to lose that van.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to just add a couple things. I circled up when members had questions. So just this is another good. So when you see on your budget bill, page 17, line 6, you see the new number now is $7,643,000. And that is out of T2. That's the fund number. So T2, you go back to those definitions, is on page 4. That's the bottom one on line 22, page 4. T2 means Miners Hospital Permanent Land Income Fund. And I think the good representative from Carbon mentioned this. I want to repeat it. So $7.6 million is now the biennial budget. And that income fund is generating it from the permanent fund flowing into the income fund, which we appropriate from because we can't appropriate out of the permanent fund, is $9.4 million. So that fund is continuing to grow a couple million every year, and I think the good representative referenced there's about $30 million now in the income fund. And so it's been a big turnaround for this agency. It used to be the stories we'd heard, if you drove a soda truck onto a mine site one time in your working career, you could qualify for the miners' hearing aids. Well, that's not the intent of it. We want to take care of the miners. That's what our founders did in setting aside permanent lands for mining and the miners' hospital. And so it's really been narrowed down, taken care of, to take care of Wyoming citizens who spent a lifetime working in our mines. And so, and these folks who have worked hard to kind of clean all this up we're kind of moving into a new era now, moving them from AWACS to permanent as a request. So stand for any more questions. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To add to that also, during our last session, during the budget session, this agency indicated they were making some changes, and I think a lot of you will remember we passed a bill allowing them to do that. One, for example, is they now require proof that you actually worked in the mines, and that has cut a lot of the people receiving services who probably shouldn't have been receiving services. And they're providing those things above and beyond what we would normally consider, you know, those health services coming from workers' comp or those sorts of things. And they've tried to control their funds, control the money, and control their program so it does the best good for the most need, and that's the miners.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little bit more memory jog here. We've been doing bits and pieces of the State Miners Hospital for well over a dozen years. It used to kind of be focused just in southwest Wyoming, associated with the hospital down there. Now it's more diverse around the state. There were many abuses of it, like you heard the appropriations chair mention. Even beyond that, there were current miners that were using this before they were using their company insurance. So we've tried to get rid of all that, too. And this is kind of meant as a last resort for especially retired miners that don't have the resources anymore. So, you know, it's I'm not for sure 10 or 20 years from now if this is needed anymore, but right now it still has a useful life here.
Other discussion on Section 14? Representative Connolly?
Mr. Chair, I'd call for the question, but beforehand, I'd just like to point out to the body that when we get into kind of these discussions of the agencies, you can always go to your budget book as well. So now you have your summary sheet, your long summary sheet, your budget bill, and you can actually go to the supplemental budget request for more details about each of the agencies and what their request is. And if there are no more questions, I call for the questions. I call for the question and to close Section 14, Miners Hospital Board.
All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 14 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 15, Attorney General, Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move Section 15 of your supplemental budget. And just a very quick explanation. Change to this budget and why it's open is that after some presentation to the JAC, we agreed to pay $143,900 to, these are the victims' compensation folks around the state on the victims' services that are offered through the AG's office. And it's a one-time funding. There are special funds coming from the victims' compensation account. And if there are any questions, otherwise I'd call for the question.
Question being called. All in favor of Section 15, Attorney General, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 15 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 20, Department of Environmental Quality, Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 20 to House Bill 1, and we'll explain this to you. First, turn to page 20 on the bill, and then it'll be on page 6 of your detailed summary sheet. And then also, as the last speaker was saying, if you look to your supplemental budget in Section 20, page 8, the justification. So what we had in the Air Quality Division in 2014, we had appropriated it was about $1.3 million from what we thought were the AML funds that were available for items other than mine reclamation. Those funds did not show up. And therefore, what we're doing is backfilling those funds, and it's just under $1.3 million, with general funds. And I think most people in the body are aware of the importance that we continue our air monitoring program to be able to help with our permitting and also to help us with the issues that come down from federal regulation. So that's what you're going to see in your bill. You'll notice that we're not subtracting out the funds on the federal funds. They're on, which starts on line 6, When we get to the Section 300s, we've dealt with how we're going to deal with that if those federal funds come back in. So right now, this is a increase for general funds. It looks like it's increasing overall to the agency, but the fact of the matter is it isn't. We're just zeroing, netting that out. One of the other items that was requested by the governor's recommendations dealt with $600,000 for the impact, which is a paperless permitting tracking. Paperless is a misnomer, but that's less paper program to work with that. And so this is the first time you can look at that. When you look at footnote 2 on the detailed summary list, this is one that's going to fall into one of those contingencies. An important item that we denied is current funds, but approved to go into what we've been calling that second tranche of the contingency funds. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. I was under the impression that there were authorized employees, at least one that I was familiar with, and it doesn't show that on the page 6 and authorized employees. Could you explain that?
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Could the good chairman for minerals repeat the first part of the question?
Chairman Lockhart, if you'd restate your question.
Let me reframe that. Are there any employees of the Department of Environmental Quality? I was under the impression that there was at least one, and I thought there was probably one and a half, but I wasn't sure.
Representative Greer.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, so if I'm understanding the question, is there was no request in the supplemental budget for any increase in employees. However, so the detailed summary sheet, as you move clear over to the right, you'll see that there are, in fact, 264 full-time employees with the Department of Environmental Quality. But there were no requests for any new or additional, Mr. Chairman.
I apologize for my misreading.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we go through here, just looking at the number of employees that each one of these has, the governor's rec. So we just kept the 264. And I guess in answer to the question going through the big budget book, it would say a little bit about the number of employees we have and the categories they're in. So I just keep looking at these big numbers and a little bit concerned, but I think this stayed the same. Is that correct?
Representative Greer.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, and to answer that, and I guess to bring everybody up to speed, this is the supplemental budget. So what we didn't look at whether or not they had too many employees this time. When the biennial budget comes in, which will be my first time of doing that, by the way, but that's when we'll answer those questions. And you will see some items in here where additional employees were requested, and the JAC took action on those, typically denied them. So when you see this, there were no additional employees in this supplemental budget. And it also wasn't our charge to go through and cut employees out or do that in-depth analysis at this midterm component. That will be part of our job, this body's job, when we get to the biennial budget.
Further discussion on Section 20. Question being called. All in favor of the committee of the whole, rise to report, reduce with the recommendation that Section 20 of the budget do pass. Please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 20 is passed. We're now on to Section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources, to the budget. In this section, probably the first one where you're going to see a lot of changes, a lot of numbers on your detailed summary sheet. The first one is JC added $10,000 in general funds for minting commemorative coins for the 125th anniversary of Wyoming statehood, and modified footnote 4. And the modifications in footnote 4 take those funds based on the type of coin, whether they're gold, silver, or alloy, and assign them to various funds, in the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources. So we added some money in there. You've all seen the brochures on our desks for those coins. If you'd like to buy them, please buy the gold ones. okay. Number two, JC reduced the governor's recommendation of $200,466 in general fund for artifact and artwork conservation to $100,000 of general funds. And this is for artwork and cultural artifacts that do need preserved. We looked at it and said, we don't want to cut this. There are some things out there that really need done, but some of them can still wait to a regular budget rather than supplemental. And I wish at this point we could use proper names on the floor. There's a piece of art where the artist is displayed in this room that needs some preservation and some work, and some of the ties really to our history. If you'd like to see those, I have a kind of a photo album of them I can show you at another time. JC denied governor's request for $25,000 for a statewide arts conference. Felt that that was better handled in a regular budget, considering that's done every other year. JC denied the governor's recommendation of $32,700 for conference expenses associated with the 125th anniversary of Wyoming statehood. JC added footnote 5, requiring that all papers associated with the conference on the 125th anniversary of statehood be made available to the public online via the agency's website. So those papers presented, you can go out there and read them if you can't make it to the conference. JC denied governor's request for $351 for a snowmobile permit tracking system. JC denied the governor's letter number 5 with a recommendation of $200,000 for Veterans Memorial Park in Cody. And JC denied the governor's request of $765,513 for state parks operations, but added footnote 6, which authorizes and appropriates up to 25% in state parks capital construction funds for operation and maintenance if House Bill 13 fails. And now we passed House Bill 13, and it's over on the other side of the building here. And hopefully that will pass, but if it doesn't, this takes care of it. And with that, I would stand for questions.
Mr. Minority Whip. First, my apologies for getting your title wrong last time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No problem. I guess my question would be about the conference for the 125 years. Wasn't that conference supposed to be this summer or fall?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it is, and the discussion was we knew 125 years was coming a long time ago and should have been appropriately planned for in the regular budget.
Further discussion? Representative Barlow?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not the first time this has come up in this budget discussion. But I also think that it's worthy of notation is the budget note 6, which actually refers to a bill that has already passed this House, is on the other end. We've had some discussion in this body and in the last session, legislature, about using the budget as a way to advance bills or the purpose of bills. And this is the second time we've had this in this budget. So I guess let's make sure when we do things in the budget, just because it's at the behest of our Appropriations Committee, we're being told that as body, we couldn't advance that as well. So I just point that out as something to, it's right here, folks. What we're being told, what we have been forewarned about doing is right here, second time we've had it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Minority Whip.
All right, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Back to the footnote about the 125 years, the conference part of it, I don't think we knew was coming for 125 years. And I think that was something that we wanted to do that came about last year. And I guess, as the previous speaker talked about, that might be why you're going to see amendments that address issues that I think are important to the citizens of Wyoming and celebrating the heritage of Wyoming that we probably don't ever get to do, but on those quarter century marks. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just had a question on number three, the $25,000 for statewide art conferences. I thought that was kind of a continuing effort. I thought they had statewide art conferences provided by state parks.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first question about the 125th year of statehood, and I know there's a term for that, which I can't remember, to define these specific years and commemorative dates. The conference itself will occur. It's just that the money wasn't put in the supplemental budget for that. The conference, as far as we know, will still occur, and it'll be handled. This was really for the state to provide expenses and money for that conference. On the art conference, that is not a regular part of their budget. They've been coming in asking for that every other year. They wanted to do some early planning and that, and again, it's a supplemental budget, not a regular budget.
Representative Connolly.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And just to go back to the conference, know that that was part of a compromise that happened in JAC, that at one round of the kind of funding that the money for that conference was put in, there was a footnote that was put into that. I did that. That asked for, because in fact that is an important event that will happen for the state. Our school kids participate in those kinds of events, and many of our school kids also participate and do very well in a national competition regarding history. It was important that the papers that came about from that conference became available for everyone, and in particular, in my mind, for those school kids. So the agency has guaranteed that it will happen. They will fundraise for that conference, and this just guarantees that the papers that come out of there will become available online.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to direct the members' attention to the bottom of page 6 on your detailed summary sheet. And I want to speak to the good representative from Campbell's concerns. This puts this in context. If you look at the bottom of page 6 of your detailed summary sheet where it has number 8, see where it says JAC denied the Gov's request for $765,513 general fund dollars for state parks operations. We denied that. That was a request. But at that same time, and in these discussions in December that we had, see, their construction account is funded through fees that we pay or out-of-state people pay when they go to state parks. And their construction account has actually gotten so large, and they're prohibited by statute to use any of it for maintenance. So they've referenced to our committee, we are still going out and building trails, because that's what you're making us do with that money. But in the meantime, we're going to come back and ask you for maintenance dollars to take care of our things. And we just thought, well, instead of coming up with $765,000 for 1 year that would biennialize to $1.5 million in the budget, we said, and they asked, actually, this wasn't something we dreamed up. They said, if we could use a portion of our construction account. And so we said, boy, that sounds like the right thing to do for the people of Wyoming. And so we put that in there, about 25%. And this would last 1 year, be time limited on the budget. This was in December. We come back here. We have a new legislature sworn in. We hear about a committee bill to do the same thing. And that's where we, when that bill came through, we, in the round robin, put House Bill 13. We don't want this language in there if House Bill 13 becomes law. So that's why it's in there. But absolutely, do we make those kind of fiscal policies in the budget? And this is the second time? Absolutely. And I think you would expect that of us, to be prudent with those dollars that come through and not just say yes to any maintenance-type things and ignore the obvious. So that's why we did that. And I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Burkhart?
Mr. Chairman, if there's no other questions, I would call for the question.
Representative Yagi.
Looking in our budget book on page 22 and on page 22, number line 20, and page 23, line 8, We're talking about the appropriation. We're putting $100,000 in for We the People educational program. And, okay, and $400,000 on page 23. Okay, these, I think I've got them. Thank you.
Just to, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harrison.
Just to remind the body that, since that language is not underlined, that's an existing law. Okay, we did that last year, and it's just that new and the new underlined or struck out are the changes. Thank you.
Representative Burkhardt.
Mr. Chairman, again, I'd call for the question.
Question being called on Section 24. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 24 is passed, Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 27, School Facilities Department. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is on page 7 of your detailed summary sheet, and it's on page 25 of your budget bill. And I would just work off the summary sheet, members. And I'd like to just go down 1 through 4 and then talk about those. Number 1, JAC adopted the governor's rec to add footnote number 3, which authorizes the department to move funds between biennia in order to balance its books and ultimately close prior year's appropriations. So if you turn, just flip the page to page 26 of your budget bill, you can see footnote 3, and we're trying to... What we do, and we've done this over the years, this will close out the 9-10 biennia and move some of these funds forward. They're funds that weren't spent, and they're just sitting out there, and so we'd like to close out these biennia. So that's what that is. It's not a new appropriation. And now back to your summary sheet, number 2. JAC moved $3,150,000 in S6. These are school capital construction funds. To Senate File 57, and you'll recall that about 3 or 4 years ago, we broke out the school CapCon bill from the main budget bill. So that bill started in the Senate, and you'll have a look at that when it arrives here. And then, Mr. Chairman, on number 3 on your summary sheet, JAC moved $10,587,422 S6 for contingencies and component projects to that Senate File 57. Once again, you'll be able to see every one of those projects, what district they're in, what they're for, and we'll have that discussion when that bill comes to our house. And then, Mr. Chairman and members, on number 4 on the summary sheet, JAC adopted the Gov's Rec for $7,400,000 S6 for major maintenance and added footnote number 4, which authorizes school districts to spend up to 10% of their major maintenance distribution for safety and security needs of their facilities for the period beginning and effective date of this budget. So, members, if you would, well, first of all, the $7.4 million in schools in K-12 education is the only major maintenance where we calculate every year. So there's always a number change every year. For our University of Wyoming Community College and State facilities, we just do that biennially. But part of that, we're required to adjust that and look at that on a yearly basis. So that's why there's always a number change to major maintenance. And you can see on your budget bill that major maintenance number changed from $108 million that we appropriated for the biennial to $115,400,000. So it grew a little bit in this budget. And then, members, I think this is, you know, this will be worth some discussion, and maybe it's not right now, but this is something to think about. And this is really on footnote 4 on page 26 of your budget bill. And you'll see this, I guess, when you see the school CapCon bill. There's a new program starting up, school security. Now, when we build a brand new school, we already have it in our design requirements about how new schools will be built and, you know, double entrances through the office after, you know, after school hours have begun and those kind of things. And just all those things from cameras to everything. Those are all built into our new buildings. But what about our older buildings? And, well, there's a pretty significant appropriation coming in that bill, and it gives us all a little bit of concern because it really hasn't, in my opinion, we'll talk about that more, but I think it needs more scrutiny. And we thought, well, for example, I visited a school in the northern part of the state this winter, and I came to the front door, and it's out of my district, and I sitting there looking across through the glass at a person, and I pushed the button and talked to him, and they buzzed the buzzer, and I walked in. And currently, there's no way for districts to pay for that, because you can't use your major maintenance money to expand any operations or square footage or any of that. And we thought, well, that'd probably cost $1,500, a couple thousand bucks, put in a buzzer, call, you know what I mean? It wasn't a significant cost, I wouldn't think, but it made a significant difference. I couldn't just walk in this junior high school of 900 kids from out of town. I had to be buzzed in, asked what I was doing there. And so really, then I got thinking, we got talking as a committee, and as 12 of us talk, we talk about this. Well, maybe just for this period, if there's some folks out there, and I guess the other thing, you'll see this bill, I looked at those projects coming through. I asked, what's their major maintenance balances? What's their major maintenance allocations each year? And they all had, you know, and we want them to save for major maintenance so they can repair roofs and so on. But all these projects had major maintenance money, and I don't know, it's another way to look at it, I guess, and there'll be a lot of debate on this floor. I don't know if we're right on this or not, but I thought we had this similar discussion probably 12 years ago on enhancements, and that is now the law. We do 10% is allowed for enhancements. The state still oversees it and okays it, but this will be something we'll need to probably talk about and decide as a body. So I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman. If not, I'd call for the question on section 27.
Question being called on section 27. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 27 is passed, committee of the whole. We're now jumping to section 45, Department of Transportation.
Okay, members, and just Hartson. This is, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And members, this is one other case where if you look at your detailed summary, Wyoming Water Development Office, it is not in your bill, and so it is not, and that is section 29, and you can see we went from facilities, section 27, right ahead to section 45, Department of Transportation. And this Wyoming Water Development Office, Representative Greer will talk to you more about this when we get to the Section 300 transfers in the budget, and it really has to do with our water development too, and a large account that we know about and found over the interim, and so that's why it's not in your budget. And so I would yield now to a representative from Carbon on Section 45.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 45, Department of Transportation, and go over that on your detailed summary sheet. You find a number of things on Department of Transportation in there. First, JC added footnote 8, which directs the agency to develop a plan to mitigate impacts on the state's non-interstate highways, specifically Highway 59 and Highway 2026, and it requires a report. The agency indicated that these highways have some safety issues, and it directs them to study those and come up with a plan of action on them. JC added footnote number 9, which directs the agency to separately account for fuel taxes collected that are attributable to the 2013 increase and to provide a report. Main reason was is that we've always said we want to keep track of those funds. We want to make sure they're going to what this body said they should go to and pass the bill saying that. Now, the next one is the first time we run into this on this budget, and so I'd ask for a little bit extra attention on this. JC adopted the governor's rec of $420,000, and that is $336,000 in general funds and $84,000 in S7 funds, which you can go back to the definitions and find that, for the wire link equipment, and moved $336,000 to Section 345, contingent appropriations from investment earnings derived in fiscal year 15. So later on, when we get to the 300 series, we'll talk about Section 345. But that's where that money is. It comes out of that Section 345 contingency fund. So it doesn't directly hit the supplemental for this year right now. Number 4, JC reduced the governor's rec of $21,290 general fund for passing lanes to $5,000,000 and moved it to Section 346, Contingent Funds for the year 2016. And if you go to your colored summary sheet, you can see those listed out there in those contingency funds, for the middle one and then the one on the right-hand side. JC further added $2 million in S4 funds and for passing lanes and added footnote 10, which removes general fund from the program line in the budget and directs the agency to spend up to $10 million from highway safety funds or a like amount from other agency funds to design passing lanes to improve safety and mobility on state highways to include Highway 59 and 2026. Now, the $2 million in last session, we budgeted $3 million into an account for local government capital construction. The gentleman downstairs vetoed that $3 million, used his line item veto capability and vetoed it, but the money never left. He only vetoed the appropriation. The money stayed in there. So it's available to us, so we took the $2 million out of that. The other $1 million, as we go through the budget, you'll see where we put it. So that's where we got the $2 million. It's a, you know, we went looking for available monies, and that was money that was available, and put it to roads. So that's the budget for the supplemental budget for the Department of Transportation, and I would stand for questions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just curious on what your discussion was in the committee on, you know, changing a appropriation from 21 million to 5 million. Is it your contemplation that he would, or that the Transportation Department would look at the 25% most critical passing lanes and just do one fourth of it, or is it a deal where they're going to sink that money in until they get the other 15 million somewhere else, or, you know, what kind of direction did your committee give them on what application they're supposed to make of this 5 million that you did leave in there?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Part of that discussion was the original request was for 21 million plus a little bit. It's very difficult to expend that amount of money even on passing lanes on a highway in a supplemental budget. By the time they plan them, they have to do some permitting. They have to do some design. They'd be down the road a ways. So all we did was push some of that into what will come back in the regular budget and ask them to go and study the needs, because it appears there may be other needs in the state besides one particular highway. Now, I've driven that highway, and I'll tell you, I think they do need some passing lanes up there. So that was part of the discussion on it, was to let them make use of the funds available. There is safety money out there they can use. So they had $5 million there. They had $2 million from the other fund, that's seven, plus they can take $10 million out of the safety fund because most of those passing lanes are for safety. So they end up with about $17 million available that they can use and then look and see what they need going forward.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I think to go to the Chairman of Revenue, what our initial thoughts were, because YDOT's got a different calendar year than the state of Wyoming, is that we've got funds available so that we can get, because they're basically saying $1 million per passing lane, and that is about 10% of that cost is associated with engineering and design. And so what we wanted to do is get that money out there for the engineering design this year, so they could do that this summer through their October year end. And then we kicked in the additional five that was discussed. But they also, the testimony was, is in the safety funds that there was around $10 million available with the concept of going forward in two more than construction seasons to catch up to the 19 or 20 passing lanes that were suggested. So hopefully that helps from the timing standpoint.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I missed part of the discussion, so I'll find out if some of my questions were already answered. But as a native of the northeastern part of Wyoming, I will tell you, and I know we're not talking about specific roads here, but the last time I drove that road, I'm really lucky that I am standing here today. And that road has been bad since the 70s, and it's the most industrialized portion of the state of Wyoming. So what is the logic, and here's my question, of asking the Department of Transportation to go do more study? I think it's been studied ad nauseum, and I think we know the answer, that something needs to be done in our most industrialized part of the state. And I would point out that that's also where most of our tax revenue comes from, and we don't even provide the people who work in that area with a decent road.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, this isn't a study. This is actually planning and design money. So they already have outlined the number of passing lanes they want on each of these highways. This is the $2 million is simply to go out and actually design those. And then when you get through the design after this year, then 2016, you have the money available to construct it. So far from being another study, this is a plan.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the confusion comes really on page 30 of your budget and footnote number 8. And to answer the good representative from currently from the capital city who grew up in the land of camels, and she's somewhere here, and she just asked why study that. And you'll look at footnote number 8. This actually came in early in the appropriations process, and it really, I guess, in a perfect world, I look back, we probably should have deleted that because I think we've already taken care of it. And so if you go again to flip the page to footnote number 10, and on this, on Highway 59 and these passing lanes, and you'll remember that $3 million that we pulled away from these SLIB grants that the five electeds have, $33 million of general fund, and we reduced that to 30 last year. There was a veto. That money was just sitting out there. Did you already explain all this? Okay, I won't go through it again. So there's a nice little chunk of money that's for these kind of projects. We appropriated that. We were told you couldn't get going, only could do planning this summer. And then we heard maybe from others, you know, we're not so sure about that. So we said, you know, there's $64 million, I think, in general fund goes to YDOT now, and that never occurred until, like, 2005 when we had all this money. It went up to $200 million. It's back down. Well, about $48 million of that is for surface transportation. And so if you read this, it says, and then we have this non-compliant DUI. See, we changed all our DUI laws under the guise that, hey, we changed this. We can spend the safety money on road transportation. And we had these battles for years, and so we passed these DUI laws, and guess what? They're still not compliant because you can have a half-open bottle of wine corked in your back seat, or you can be in the right-of-way and still be drinking a beer as long as you're not driving. And so we have a non-compliant DUI law. So this $10 million in safety funds has to be used. So, but if you look at the language, I think we were very intentional about this. That we, if you look on line 6, in addition to the funds appropriated to the Transportation Commission, so those that we appropriate, that we shall direct the commission to use $10 million of the safety funds or a like amount of state funds. This is a large agency with a lot of cash and a lot of different from our gas taxes and general funds, and they can swap that around so quick. They could swap that as fast as you could sign your name. So I don't think that we just tell them that we've got to get going on this. $2 million planning, $10 million construction this season, and then we've got another $5 million lined up for next year, and we'll be back next year to talk about this. But it won't all get spent this summer, is our belief and what the testimony is to our committee. So I think we found a way to do this without just saying take $20 million out of the general fund. So we'd hope you'd support our approach to this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that Speaker Pro Tem said is we'll study this on line 5 and we'll plan it for the $2 million, and then the $5 million we'll have in 2016 in July, so the work will be there. But I just wanted to make sure you understand that's contingent appropriations on funds that we hope will come in. And I don't know. I guess that's the way you budget, but I don't know if that's a real good way. And I guess the good thing is if it doesn't come in, we just won't build them. So that's based on what we hope will come.
Chairman Harshman.
I'm so excited, Mr. Chairman. I want to talk about this. I think and I missed part of that from the good representative from the Southwest. And he said about the contingent. And let's just talk about that for a minute. And so you look at this third tranche, and we've got them ordered up here. Now, it's about 2.9% of the spending policy amount. This is the amount over Craig and underneath the 5% SPA. And I don't know, you know, nothing's guaranteed, but we have hit the 5% SPA 70 to 80% of the time. 70 to 80% of the time in our history. So, is it 100%? No. You know, a meteorite could hit Highway 59 and we'd have even bigger problems. But I don't, second on the list on an amount that is 70 to 80% of the time we've hit. And so I think it's you know, we are prudent in that approach, and I'd hope, again, you'd support it. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do appreciate the work that the Appropriations Committee has done on this issue. I want to point out a couple of things that I think maybe give some background. First of all, the governor's request is actually cut from what the Transportation Commission brought forth. That was for almost double the money, over $50 million for safety enhancements on four of Wyoming's roadways where there was a significant increase in traffic, and not only the number of vehicles, but the type of vehicles, generally industrial-type vehicles in mineral activity. So we already took a 50% cut and half of the number of highways, dollar-wise, and then half the number of roadways that were being considered. Now, I appreciate creativity, and our JAC has gone out and found some money that was basically stranded. You can use that for design. Thank you. We've got some money for construction. It looks to me like, based on this bill, effective immediately, we might even get some construction this year, maybe flowing into next year. I'm still working with the committee and folks to better understand that third part, and that's the third tranche issue, when that becomes effective, because my concern is it's going to become effective at the end of the biennium, basically more than halfway through our construction season in the following year, and then its effectiveness is considerably reduced, and we may be actually looking for another year. So, folks, timing is everything. Right now, I understand where our revenue picture is, and I understand the revenues in this part of our state are actually going to be somewhat suppressed. No better time. Construction materials are down. Competitiveness for construction contractors is improved. And ladies and gentlemen, the road usage may not be as intense right now. So no better time than sooner to address some of these real concerns in the revenue-generating portions of our state. Ladies and gentlemen, the counties in this area, and this is primarily the county of Lucky 13, where this construction will take place, they already run at a disadvantage, a year-and-a-half disadvantage. Folks, they are pouring millions of dollars into the very county infrastructure that they have to deal with the impacts that are occurring. Don't you think we ought to invest some right into the backbone of that? And that is this highway system. I appreciate what the Appropriations Committee is doing, and I hope we'll make sure that we're actually getting it done. And I look forward to working with them to continue that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking here at that, the detailed summary sheet. I guess the question I have is this. We have that $10 million. I'll have to speak a little bit closer to the mic. We've got that $10 million in that footnote there, number 5, $10 million from the highway safety funds. I guess a couple of questions I have is they can spend up to $10 million. How much money is actually in that? And in the event that they don't meet that, they don't hit the mark and we can't use the $5 million, can I guess that $10 million be spent right away in lieu of that.
Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That to answer the good representative from Campbell's most recent question, how much money is in this safety account? And it's about $13 million. Of that, $10 can be used for surface transportation improvements and safety improvements. The other $3 million has to be used for non-transportation things. And what we've learned over the years is that some of the advertising you see and those kind of things, and that's where it has to be spent. But that $10 is for surface transportation. That's the $10 we specified on that. And then, so I hope that answers your question. That's about as fast as we can get money. I mean, and this is faster than what the department said they could do it, frankly. And so we put the heat on them a little bit to get this going. As far as the governor's request for the agency's request to the governor for $54 million, the governor whacked that clear down to $21 million. We didn't deal with an agency request. We don't even know what all that was. That was probably for some interstate interchanges, interstate improvement. Who knows? It could be all over. But what my notes have and what our testimony from the agency, 15 passing lanes on Highway 59, and most of those in between Reno Junction, Wright, and Douglas, and then five on 2026 to the west. And so... and it's interesting. I drive 387, 50, and 59 north a lot, multiple times a year. I hadn't driven that 59 stretch between Reno Junction and, can I say that on the floor? That southern 59 stretch. It's a beautiful road. It's nice and smooth. Even got a rest stop there. There's not one passing lane. I couldn't believe it. You'd get behind these oil tanker trucks and you'd go and go and go. And so I understand. You know, when you're on 387 or 59 north, you're always running into passing lane 1 mile. So you're behind one of those big old things, and you say, okay, 1 mile. And then it's on, you know, and then everybody passes in that lane. But, boy, that deal going south, I think we all as a committee recognize that. Nobody, this was fully supported by your JAC. And frankly, we were more aggressive with the getting this out quicker than I think than even the department thought they could do. So I'd stand for any more questions. Appreciate the discussion.
Chairman Representative Burkhart, Chairman Patton. And as a side note, if the language is in the budget, I'm sure we can use it even if it's the proper name. Chairman Patton, after you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just changing the subject on you here, but only a little bit, from ground to air. Look at the Aeronautics Administration, and is there some additional support that I just don't read here or do read it correctly relative to air service in small communities?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is some air enhancement money, and it comes in the 300 series, and preferably hold discussion to that till we get to the 300 series.
Other discussion on Section 45?
Call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Section 45, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 45 is passed. Committee of the Whole. We're on to Section 48, Department of Health. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr.
Year.
Chairman. I would move Agency 48 and ask for your favorable consideration. And, ladies and gentlemen, as you look at your detailed summary sheet and you look at the lower right-hand corner of the chart, the supplemental JAC budget, the combined budget, you can see that this department is sort of the big pig, almost $2 billion in combined spending over the biennium. Given that magnitude, we've made actually fairly small adjustments to the budget, but I'll walk you down through the footnotes. So the first change you'll see, which is footnote 1 on your summary sheet and page 35 of your bill, there's $100,000 that is being used to help pay for hearing aids for children. We moved that. It has been in the child developmental disability section of the department. We moved that to the behavioral health division, and actually you'll see in the footnote that we expanded eligibility. So it's not just early childhood now. Instead, it's Wyoming residents from birth through the completion of high school. So not any additional money, just a change in the eligibility of those who could make use of that money. In footnote 2, you'll see that we have budgeted an additional $125,000 general fund to be matched by $125,000 in federal fund. And this is to do the rebasing, not to fund the rebasing, but to do the rebasing rate study for developmental DD, the developmental DD programs. And so that over the next year will be taking place. So you can expect in the budget session that there will be a request, at least, of rebasing for those programs that results from this study. Then the next footnote 3 on your summary sheet, this is actually shows the result of a rebasing study in the nursing home area. And you will see that the what we have is a general fund appropriation with a like appropriation of federal funds because it's a 50-50 match. And you'll see the Gov's rec was $4.7 million essentially in general fund monies. We cut that by 25%. And so the JAC rec and the budget bill before you has a $3.5 million appropriation to be matched with a $3.5 million in federal funds to fund that nursing home rebasement, which is the result of a rebasing study. In the footnote 4 on your summary sheet, you may remember we had the bill that came through that talked about developmental programs and particularly service providers, and there was the bill sponsored by Labor Committee that allowed for $1 million for a number of different things, including business consulting and those sorts of things. And as we heard testimony in the committee from providers and others involved in the program, we really heard that what they needed is money contributed essentially to their operations and particularly to their salary requirements. And so what you will see in this is an additional $1.5 million that we have budgeted, which is matched by $1.5 million in federal funds, and this was not a governor's recommendation. This was an action by the JAC. $1 million of that is just a flat-out appropriation, but $500,000 of that is contingent upon the failure of that bill we voted on. So if that bill does not go through the Senate, then an additional, which had a $1 million appropriation tied to it, an additional $500,000 will be budgeted to these programs to be matched by a like amount of federal funds. In footnote 5, you'll see that small adjustment, $17,000. That's actually just a proportionate increase to the hospice facilities for their reimbursement rates. It's a proportionate to what we have done for nursing homes just to keep them sort of in lockstep. Footnote number 6, you'll see is a big amount of money, but it is actually it has no impact on the general fund. This is the result of a governor's letter. And it's requesting uncompensated care Medicaid waiver for the tribes. And so we have approved that. That's fully funded by federal funds, almost $17 million in federal funds going to the reservation. You'll also see the $676,000 in special revenue. And what that is there's one position for the state to monitor and administer that program. That $676,000 is the cost of administration, and that's required to be reimbursed by the tribes under the footnote. And you also see under the footnote that if that federal fund, if the funding is ever lessened or if it goes away, that entire program goes away. In footnote 7, there was a request, and this again is not general fund, this is special revenue. The public health lab receives fees for their work. They wanted authorization to use $200,000 of those fees for equipment such as a flux capacitor, gastrometer, those sorts of things. And so they have we approved their ability to use that $200,000 in special revenue for additional equipment for the public laboratory, the public health laboratory. Footnote number 8, each of the counties has a public nursing program, and that is 65% funded by the state of Wyoming. Two exceptions to that are the two counties that you see listed there. They have not for several years, at least my home county for over a decade, I think, had public health nursing or any sort of state funding of public health nursing. This $1.1 million appropriation is essentially the 65% of state funding for the public health nurses in those two counties. So it essentially puts these counties, which are on a contract basis with the Department of Health, on an equal basis with the remaining counties. And then footnote number 9, you'll remember, those of you that were here last year will remember we had quite a bit of discussion about maintenance of effort in the childhood developmental developmental preschool program. And it looks like a cut. The GovsRec was $1.6 million. We cut that amount to $500,000. But what that is the $1.6 was sort of a placeholder. The childhood count comes in at the end of the year. And so when they came in with the actual childhood numbers, the actual amount to achieve that maintenance of effort was an additional appropriation of $517,000. So that's what we have included in the budget. So with that, I would certainly take any questions on Agency 48.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 41 of the budget bill, starting on line 19, it talks about the $1 million appropriation for an increase in provider reimbursement rates. And then as you turn the page, it goes to the $500,000, and it is repealed. This subsection is repealed if House Bill 58 is enacted into law. So House Bill 58, just by way of explanation, that was the training bill so that we could get some training for people with developmental disability. It's not to train the clients, it's to train the providers. The nice thing about this process is that we take enough days and raise enough interest that we hear enough from people to understand what's really important and what's not. And I think that the providers are in such financial crisis that this is a better way to go than passing House Bill 58. And although it's passed this chamber, I have discouraged its passage on the other side, and I don't know what they're going to do with it. It's certainly up to them. But I think it really is a better way to go. And then I will bring a policy amendment that doesn't monkey with the money at all, but just is prescriptive about how it's spent. And then on page 43 of the budget bill, starting on line 8, this general fund appropriation, $1,114,000, et cetera, shall only be distributed for public health nursing to Natrona and Sweetwater counties. Our committee worked on this subject with county commissioners for a year and a half, and worked really hard on a system that in the first time in my years of service, we had the county commissioners all agreeing on the same thing. And now we have a couple of counties that have come to the Appropriations Committee and asked for exception to the rule. They want back in the system, and they were given that opportunity to come back in the system and chose not to because they didn't like the details of how to do that. And so my question is to the Appropriations Committee, why these two counties, why the exception, and why are they accepted from the rules and from the policy that the county commissioners and the Department of Health reached agreement on?
Vice Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, this is something that is not here that was in a previous budget, and I just want to hear the discussion. In the auditor's budget, there was a $8 million of general funds to deal with emergency detentions. I just wondered what the discussion was when you got to the Department of Health, because actually the Department of Health is where these funds are flowing out of, and they're flowing out of at a rate that is unsustainable for the biennium. So I'd like to hear any discussion that was had with regard to Title 25 emergency detention in regard to the Department of Health's budget and the concern of the outflow. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me answer a couple of those questions. First, on the county health nurse program, you might remember that we have actually authorized and they had entered into an agreement with the Department of Health for partial funding of the public health nurses, those two counties that had opted out many years ago out of the program. And so we had actually funded through the budget a portion of that, just not the full cost. So they came back and said, look, now that we've evaluated the program and we know what the 65% is, this is what the full cost is. And so that's what you see in your budget. So it's not, I don't perceive it maybe as the good representative up from the Bighorn Basin does as an end around. Instead, I see this as completing what we had agreed to do in the last budget when we partially funded those nursing positions. With respect to the Title 25 and the emergency detention, you'll see we'll actually discuss that more in the Section 300s, but essentially what we told the Department of Health is in that $2 billion, you're going to have to flex the $8 million you need to take care of Title 25. In the short term, and they indicated, and the testimony was that they could figure out how to do that. So we did not appropriate additional monies to deal with that Title 25 issue. And you'll see in the Section 300s, we gave them explicit instruction, essentially, to flex money. And Department of Health is one of the few agencies that we give actually pretty wide discretion on the ability to flex their monies around, because so many of their programs can fluctuate so widely during a biennium. So testimony was that they believe that they could do that.
Mr. Minority Caucus Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the good member of Appropriations. We've got a new term here that's probably new to all of the new people inside the chamber. Rebasing, could you give a brief explanation of what rebasing is, what its genesis is, and why is it so important to this particular agency?
Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you, and I thank I appreciate the question because it's an important one to my question. Normally, when you take a formula for funding a service that the Department of Health is providing, periodically you have to look at that and determine if the current funding model that you have for it is adequate. And if it isn't, you rebase it or you reestablish the baseline for which you're funding it. And so, like our community, and our community providers, if we're funding that at a baseline of X and they rebase it, we may have to change it to Y to make it sustainable and for the program that it's serving. And so that comes to my question because on the nursing home model that was created, we passed the Bill Senate File 60 a couple of years ago requiring the Department of Health to recreate a funding model, not to so which is different than rebasing. And so we spent about 18 months coming up with this new funding model to compensate nursing homes for patients that are served by Medicaid. The reason for that was a couple. The Medicaid reimbursement rate for those nursing homes in the state was at such a level that they were losing about $40 a day on the average if they had a Medicaid patient. And then the other problem was is if you had somebody that had an acute issue such as dementia or Alzheimer's, they wouldn't reimburse hardly at all for those, and so the nursing home stopped taking those. And so we have to send, currently we're sending a number of those patients, we're sending about 21 of those patients to states outside of Wyoming to care for them, and we're also sending some of those to state facilities within the state at a much higher rate than what the nursing homes could cover them. So those were some of the issues that they looked at in rebate in coming up with a new funding formula for the nursing homes. The other problem was is many of those facilities are getting some age to them, and there's no way to recapture the age through the funding model, and so they had to try and come up with a major capital construction improvement to that you could re-age your building and get more Medicaid reimbursement for it. And so with that history, my question would be, because they come back with a funding formula there that the governor's request come in to about $9 million, half of which is state funds and half of which is the federal funds. And so my question back to the good committee, and we've kind of had that discussion, it's more for the body than anything, is when they looked at funding that at only 75%, and when they looked at that model and how it was created and how it would be implemented, what was the discussion there on, and how was that going to be,
what parts of that funding model was going to be manipulated to where they could still serve that population at a 25% less money, and if that indeed perhaps didn't get looked at as closely as maybe we need to, maybe we can come back with an amendment to address that.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
I sense a coming amendment, maybe. But when we talked about the nursing home rebasement, and remember, we do rebasing across a number of different areas, and it is a recommendation. It is something that we look at, and we look at in view of the resources that we have. And of course, if you remember, when we're looking at this appropriation, this is a one-year appropriation. So when we look at this appropriation in the coming budget, this will double. And so that $4.7 million that was requested in general funds for this one year will double to over $9 million. And that was just as we evaluated where we were as far as revenues, we asked ourselves the question, can we withstand the hit of almost $10 million to this $2 billion agency, or should we look at it in a more measured approach? Should we give them a portion of that rebasing, and should we let them have the flexibility to figure out? And the rebasing model is good. I think it brings in a lot of really good considerations, one being if you have more severe patients or patients requiring more care, they get to charge a higher rate. That's a new innovation in this rebasing model, which is, I think, a smart thing. But what we decided to do was, look, let's make sure we can sustain the funding. So let's give them 75% of that request. Let's let them adjust that rate and that rebasing rate to reflect that. And then we're going to be back here in a year. And in terms of what the revenues look like in a year, we'll make a decision on whether we can afford more in this budget or not.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and appreciate those comments. And just to remind the body, that is $7.1 million now in new dollars into the system. But I just want to back up to one thing, and it's on your summary sheet, number two, and you can see where we adopted the Gov's Rec for $250,000, half and half, for a provider rate rebasing study. Now, normally, then, we would let the study go out, and it would come back next year. But we've heard so much testimony around the state about providers and their needs. And keep in mind, these go to providers, and we hear about the hourly wages of those folks who are doing those jobs in our state. This goes to the provider, and we hope it, you know, it has to trickle down, we think. But I just want to, so we have the study coming on DD providers. But we also made that down payment on that, and that's the part I want to draw your attention to, and it's on page 42 of your bill, and this is the $1.5 million general fund dollars and matched by federal fund dollars. But if you look on line 12 and 13 on page 42, it has three paragraphs to this amendment on 20, and it says, this appropriation shall serve as an installment on the current provider reimbursement rates pending the department's rebasing study. So we think that when this study comes back, like all studies, it goes up, right? And so we said we're going to get ahead of this, and we're going to do a down payment on what we know is going to be an increase. And so that's how we handled that. It wasn't an attempt to raise it up artificially before the study. We know that the study's probably going to go up, and we wanted to start making that payment forward. So I just wanted us to be clear on that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to help the body to understand that we've just talked about two different things. And the good chair from Appropriations just talked to you about the rebasing study that will be done, that they've already front-loaded to some degree for the community providers that provide services for our citizens of this state that have developmental disabilities. Prior to that, we were talking about a reformulation of our nursing home providers, and just try and keep those two issues separate, because the rebasing model that he talks about is different than the the creation of a new funding formula. And we have to be, also have to be just a little bit, let me just tell you how this reformulation took place. You have the Department of Health, you had the nursing home providers, both for-profit and non-profit, and you had the actuaries. We spent 18 months, and so they knew full well that they was going to be coming to this committee, the Appropriations Committee, and what they basically had done is said, we're going to need 20 gallons of gas to get from point A to point B. We can do that. Not every one of these facilities is going to be made whole on that, but as a whole, we'll get there if we just have 20 gallons of gas. And kind of what we've done here is we says, well, that's okay, but we think you can get there on 17 gallons of gas or 15 gallons of gas. And so we have to decide what did we do there? Did we change the road? Did we change the vehicle? What was it that we changed that allows us to decrease the amount of gas to get them from point A to point B? And so that's kind of what I'm just sharing with the body is we've taken 25% of the recommended requirement to help these nursing homes throughout the state. And if we're going to reduce that 25%, we probably ought to be able to identify to them how we think that they can do that, to just send them back and say, well, you guys figure it out. They had it figured out. That's what they brought to us. And so we just bear that in mind as we move forward on some second reading amendments. I know we got a lot of country to cover yet today. Thank you.
Further discussion on Section 48. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, just one final comment. I would just say that, the encouragement was to drive economy and not a tricked out SUV, and then 15 gallons of gas gets you there. So with that, if there's no further questions, I'd call for the question.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, if they have flux capacitors, they don't need that much gas. On Section 48, all those in favor, please say aye. Vice Chairman Larson.
I did have one other question. I mean, while I'm on a roll. So if we passed it, Mr. Chairman, if we have, I'll...
Nope. No, you can proceed.
So we have my other question then was on the developmental preschools. There was a discussion from the Department of Health to JEC as they was preparing the supplemental budget there was a recommended ECA adjustment to the developmental preschools, which by statute is supposed to be recommended to the JAC 1 year after an ECA is given to K-12. And one of the issues there is our developmental preschools currently are only able to compensate their people there's about a 16% difference, but they're supposed to be comparable to what K-12 professionals are. And so these ECA adjustments help make up that difference. And I know that they made that request, and I don't see it addressed here. I was just wondering what the conversation was, and obviously I know what the decision was, but I'm just kind of curious on that discussion.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, there was no request from the governor for anything other than the maintenance of effort funding of $1.6 million. That was the only request brought to us, and even though there's the cut, that again reflects the lower child count. So this $517,000 is the full funding of the maintenance of effort.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Statutorily, the JAC is required to look at ECA. It's not a request by anybody. It's their responsibility to look at the law.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, actually what the statute requires is that during the biennial budget, the recommendation and the request must contemplate the ECA. That's during the biennial budget. That's a request. That's a request that's evaluated by JAC and this body in making the funding decision. So that did all happen last year, and it wasn't redone as part of the supplemental budget.
Further discussion on Section 48. Question being called. All in favor of Section 48 for the second time, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 48 is passed committee of the whole. We're now on to Section 49, Department of Family Services Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 49, Department of Family Services, page 10 of your detail summary sheet and page 43 of your bill. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted the governor's rec of a transfer of $120,000 and a combination of general funds and federal funds for travel in one program, services, to another program, assistance. This exchange is described on your detail summary sheets in footnotes 1, where you see the increase in funds, and then footnote 3, where you see the decrease in funds. This exchange was supported by all the programs involved as well as the federal partners and results in a net zero impact on the budget.
Discussion on Section 49.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not done yet.
Proceed.
Okay. So now moving back to footnote 2, the JAC reduced the governor's recommendation for increased reimbursement for youth crisis beds from $1.29 million to $600,000. Mr. Chairman, then footnote 4 is the JAC's recommendation to adopt the governor's recommendation for job training for TANF recipients, and that will be discussed in Section 345. Are there any questions?
Any further discussion? Representative Winters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in this particular section here, it looks as though the last time they had any sort of funding increase was in 2008, and I was wondering if there had been any discussion of whether this is enough to make up for the difference over that intervening period of time. It's been almost 7 years.
Representative Connolly.
Mr. Chairman, with the good representative, before he sits down, what particular element are you talking about?
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I can come over and speak with the good lady in just a moment. But what we're talking about here is the adolescent program. And there are elements here. We'll get together here in just a second.
Any further discussion on Section 49? Question being called. All in favor of Section 49, Department of Family Services, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 49 is passed committee of the whole. We're now on to Section 51, Livestock Board. Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 51, Livestock Board, page 10 on your detail summary sheet and page 45 on your bill. Mr. Chairman, JC adopted the governor's rec for $205,212 in special revenue for budget authority to forward credit control fees to the county boards. And, Mr. Chairman, that's the Livestock Board. If there's no questions, I'd call for the question on or call to close Section 51.
Question being called on Section 51. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Section 51 is passed committee of the whole. We're on to Section 53, Department of Workforce Services. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 43, Department of Workforce Services, to the budget. There was one change made in their budget. JC adopted the governor's recommendation of $10,000 for the Wyoming Grown Project, which is a project to make it easier for those people who have left the state over the years who want to return to Wyoming to pair them up with jobs they qualify for, whether they be doctors or welders or that sort of thing. And it lies in the Department of Workforce Services. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Discussion on Section 43. Call 53.
Call for the question.
All of those in favor of Section 53, Department of Workforce Services, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 53 is passed committee of the whole. We're on to Section 60, State Lands and Investments. Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Chairman. I move Section 60, State Lands and Investments, page 12 on your detail summary sheet and page 47 on your bill. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted Governor's Rec Letter Number 7 to modify agency anticipated revenues by reducing $971,979 in general funds and $1,761,552 in federal funds, and increasing $2,736,531 in special revenue funds for the Water Development Office and DEQ, resulting in the net effect of $0 to the agency. JAC adopted Governor's Letter 14 of $705,000 for purposes of implementing the task force on forest recommendations, including one-time limit position, but funded the request for emergency fire service suppression account dollars and moved it to Section 352, which we will discuss later in the budget. And if there are no questions, Mr. Chairman, I would move to close Section 60.
Question being called on Section 60, State Lands and Investments. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Section 60 is passed Committee of the Whole. We're now on to Section 66, Wyoming Tourism Board. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move for Section 66 of the supplemental budget and ask for your favorable consideration. This is the Department of Tourism. Basically, three things were done in the supplemental budget. The first thing is we modified the mechanism by which funds were provided for scholarships for rodeo athletes. We found out that after the fact that the language that we had inserted in there didn't quite fit out. So if you look at it, it's on page 51 of the of your budget bill. We just struck some language and a lot, but didn't change any funding, but just allowed the to go to the participating institutions for the scholarships for rodeos. So it's just really a grammatical change to be law compliant. Number two, we reduced the governor's rec. The Department of Tourism asked for $800,000 for international tourism development. We denied that. We did approve $40,000 for one-time expenses on Brand USA as part of their, to be included as part of that website, which is just a national mechanism for advertising over the web. Finally, we adopted the Gov's rec of $588,000 to redesign the state tourism's website. They came and made a pretty good presentation of the current one is over 5 years old. It's very outdated compared to the states around us. And this was they've showed us the bids and the costs of what it's going to take to do that. So that's Wyoming Tourism Board, Section 66 in a nutshell. Any questions?
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On Romanet 3, page 51 of the budget bill, it's been struck out for these athletes to have a 3.0 grade point average.
Mr. Chair, yes, the
Representative Nicholas.
I forgot the exact criteria, but the criteria that we had, they weren't able to apply it because of basically legal considerations. So each participating community college can do it the way they want apply for. And it goes back to the mechanism by which we were giving it, because we were getting basically stipends for travel and for different things, and we weren't allowed to do that because it's kind of like a fringe benefit for the athletes. And so it didn't fit within the legal requirements of a scholarship, quote unquote. So we just backed it out, say, okay, we'll give them to the community colleges, and you can administer them the way you need to, and we won't cross roads where they couldn't administer or deliver the scholarships the way that as it was doing by fund and by travel reimbursement.
Further discussion on Section 66. Question being called. All in favor of Section 66, Wyoming Tourism Board, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 66 has passed Committee of the Whole. We're now on to Section 67, the University of Wyoming. Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 67, University of Wyoming, page 13 on your detailed summary sheet, page 52 in your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, the JAC added footnote 14, which directs UW trustees to work with the trustees from NWCCD and the Gillette College to explore the feasibility of establishing a bachelor's degree elementary education program in Gillette and to provide a report. JAC added footnote 15, which directs the university to study the feasibility of establishing a four-year degree program in Jackson in business and environmental science fields and to provide a report. JAC added footnote 16, which directs the University of Wyoming nursing program to work with community colleges to study the feasibility of establishing a baccalaureate nursing degrees program at the colleges and require a report. JAC denied the governor's rec of $105,746 in general funds for a statewide Bachelor of Nursing program. JAC modified footnote 5 to expand the use of recruitment funds and to change the 2-to-1 match to a 1-to-1 match. A JAC modified footnote 6 to remove the enrollment contingency and allow UW to expend $1 million for the purpose of developing a new counting system, adding $3 million match to the and requiring a report. The JAC adopted the governor's rec to modify footnote 9 to remove the matching requirement for student wireless and networking systems, thereby releasing the funds to use by the university. The JAC modified footnote 13 to designate up to $50,000 of obligated, uncommitted funds previously appropriated to the Endowment Challenge Fund to be used for graduate assistantships and academic support in the Communications Journalism Department. JAC added footnote 17, which directs UW to create a sinking fund using fees collected to use for the research aircraft in order to defray replacement costs of the aircraft and its engine. JAC adopted the governor's rec to modify footnote 10 to remove the requirement of UW's matching share of academic programs associated with the Tier 1 initiative match the state's contribution. JAC denied the governor's rec of $5 million general funds for the entrepreneur initiative. And then, members, if you'll notice on your detailed summary sheet, footnotes 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 17, and 19 are all related to 300 accounts, of which we will discuss in a detailed manner further along here. And, Mr. Chairman, with that, I stand for questions.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious on that first footnote where the Appropriations Committee is directing the UW trustees to work with the trustees at two community colleges to establish a bachelor's degree. That certainly, at first glance, appears to me that it's something that would be more appropriate in the Education Committee. And just was wondering if this was all evolved around the costs, or if there were other issues, and if the Education Committee was part of this, did they sign off on this, or can you give me a little bit of history there, please?
Vice Chairman Moniz.
Give me a chance to get to my notes so I can try to answer that.
Is there further discussion on Section 67? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to maybe help on that question from the representative from Fremont. The question was about the request for a report to work together and a report, and they will report back to, I think, the language in that into the Joint Education Committee and the JAC, you know, and that's been part of our charge in the legislature is to really make our University of Wyoming make sure we're out. And so when we hear these things from constituents, you know, we have a bachelor in education program in the center of the state. Another has been expressed to us about maybe exploring this. So the way we do that is we ask folks to get together and talk about and study and bring back a report to the JEC and the JAC. Is this feasible? We've done this a lot over the years. Sometimes, you know, we say yes. Many times we say no, we can't do it because it's going to cost this, this, and this much, and we haven't felt the need to invest in that. So it's, again, part of that kind of just exploration of our university and the programs to reach our citizens throughout the state.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question about footnote 11, that modified footnote 5 to expand the recruitment funds and change the 2-to-1 match requirement to 1-to-1. Who are we recruiting, and what are we recruiting them to do?
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question on number 2 about the feasibility study for a 4-year degree program in Jackson, when Jackson doesn't even have a 2-year degree or a 2-year school. So, thank you.
Vice Chairman Moniz, you want them now or you want me to collect them for you?
They're lining up.
Yeah. All right, Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following up that
previous comment about the four-year degree in Jackson. Last year during the budget session, we had a pretty heated debate over a culinary and hospitality type of program that's going on through the community colleges that's based over in Jackson, and I was just wondering why we decided that the university should take this on when this body felt that the community colleges weren't even qualified last year. And I'd also wonder why we are concentrating, and I realize it says in the bill itself, including but not limited to, but we talk about business and environmental sciences when that part of the state is really focused on hospitality, tourism, and culinary, and so why those degree fields aren't being pursued anymore.
Vice Chairman Moniz?
We did have quite a little discussion on that, and we didn't get a lot of play from the community, actually, there. And there appeared to be a little more interest in actually doing something in that business environment. And so if the committee has any other additional information, we could add to that.
Yeah. Representative Nicholas.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just give you a couple examples. There's some very large and well to-do universities back east who are very seriously saying, this would be a wonderful place to have a business college. Why don't we move out here and have a business college in Wyoming? And so those discussions are taking place. And so when we hear these discussions, we say, well, wait a minute. If there's going to be a wonderful, like a business college or environmental science college that's going to go up in Teton County, we should be there first, at least to explore the possibilities and make it part of our school and use all those new funds that may come in for grants and for funding and for endowed chairs and all those things as part of the University of Wyoming, and at least explore that option before the rug's pulled out from under us. And so I think it's a real important idea that we go and explore it, and so that's what was brought to us, and so that's for that particular neck of the woods, that's where that came from.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a general question on this UW appropriations, and I would like to learn more about what the committee does. In it must be kind of a heuristic rule or something on how you decide what should be new money and what should be, you know, with their block grant. I mean, is there a way to say, well, this is clearly a block grant responsibility, or this is clearly new money that's needed? And you know, I look down that list and of our summary sheet on page 13, and it seems to me there's a lot of gray area here where, you know, why couldn't they do some of these things out of their block grant? One of them is to investigate a new program in nursing or something like that. That's just one example. But how does the Appropriations Committee make a decision and say, well, that's really a legitimate expenditure that should be coming for your block grant, or vice versa, this is clearly a new avenue that does justify a new supplement to a budget.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe just to touch on that a little bit, and it's certainly more art than science, and we do have a lot of those discussions and questions about why does this need to be funded outside of the block grant? And I guess the best way to answer it is maybe to look at an example. And one of the footnotes you saw talks about a new accounting system, and there is a $1 million that's taken from what was enrollment growth money, and they have to match it with $3 million. And the evolution of that was the university initially came to us with $4 million request, and they've got, I mean, if you've seen the management audit report, they've got significant problems with their financial software over there. And so they want to implement new software. But we raised the question, well, accounting seems to be a fairly central function to what the university does. So why should we fund this outside the block grant? And through evolution, there was some other money found to allow for that $1 million, but that was really the key discussion on that particular appropriation, because it was felt, at least by the committee, that that is a sort of basic function, and when you have a block grant, you need to find ways to pay for those sorts of things. So that's, I guess, the best answer I can give.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe, members, if you would be on page 13 of your detailed summary sheet. And really, the good representative from Albany County talked about the items that are in Agency 67 budget. But like we've talked, there some of these notes, and these
corresponding 1 through 19 aren't footnotes. There are notes on this summary sheet, let's be clear. But not all of these are in 67. Many of these are capital construction things that are later in the budget. So I just want to, let's just go through these. Really, 1 through 3, we just talked about, there's no appropriation for any of that. And then 4, 5, 6, and 7 we'll talk about later in the budget. Those are in Section 345. Number 8 we talked about, how we denied the Gov's rec for $805,000 in nursing, but instead we directed them to come back with a plan. Hopefully that would cost less. So that's number 8 we just talked about. 9 and 10 we did not talk about because those are in Section 346 and 345. Number 11, 12, 13, and 14, 15, and 16 we just, the good member from Albany talked about. And those do not, actually, those are no appropriations in any of those. They're just changing of language. And I would note that on that note number 12, where it says remove the enrollment contingency to allow UW to expend $1 million for the purpose of the accounting system. That's not new money. We put in last year's budget that if they grew by like 1,000 students, we'd match them. And clearly that wasn't going to happen in 1 year. And so there was this request for other money, so we repurposed that. It's not an increase to the budget. And then number 17 will be in agency in Section 345, I should say. That's a match component. And then number 18 is the good representative from Albany talked about. This is a denial of the Gov's rec for $5 million for an entrepreneurship initiative. We denied that. And then finally, number 19, the note 19 there, will be in Section 345. So there's a lot kind of going on there, but most of the big money things on Agency 67 come later in the budget because they're capital construction or matching type things. But all these initiatives where we've asked the university to go out and study, hey, think about this idea. What about, I mean, could we do a cohort or could you do, I don't think anybody thinks we're going to build a massive couple hundred million dollar building up in the city of Jackson, but maybe there's a cohort opportunity. Maybe you get a, you know, you obviously have business folks who live in that community, at least part-time. Maybe there's opportunities. We don't know. I mean, what about a Bachelor of Education? Because what we hear in Northeast Wyoming is that all their teachers are hired right out of that school that is kind of honorary Wyoming. It's just 10 miles on the other side of the border. And every one of their teaching candidates, boom, they're sucked up into Northeast Wyoming. And so we actually have citizens who live in that coal country and drive 90 miles to work on their degrees every day. And so we hear these stories and we say, well, what about this? Maybe let's investigate a little more. So these things don't cost any money. And this is part of, I think, all of us. We have a passion for our only state university. It's in the Constitution. We want to make sure it's the University of Wyoming, not just the University of Laramie. And so that's what we're doing there. So thank you, Mr.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just asked by two kind of very smart colleagues what we were doing in here. It appeared to them that we were doing bills in budget footnotes, and we've all been told explicitly not to do that. And I wanted to respond publicly because I thought those were really good questions, and as a new member of Appropriations, kind of my understanding of what's going on here, that you'll see in this budget, as well as some of the other big budgets, I'd say the Department of Health, the Department of Correction, that there are lots of footnotes. And while I wouldn't say that these are bills, I would say that this is micromanaging, but it's micromanaging that we have asked for. We have asked these agencies to come back to your JAC to explain their programs, and then we direct them. You have asked us to do that. This agency is only one, and you'll see it in other agencies as well.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mostly at this point, I just want to thank representatives from other parts of the state of bringing up the issue I wanted to bring up. But I will add just as a comment that when you're talking about facilities in our community, remember we have two major constraints. One is very little available land to work with, and two, very little housing in which to house people associated with it. So I just bring these up and also add that when we came down here, we thought the nursing culinary arts was where we were headed. Thank you very much.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just think I need to make one comment about the comments that were made of these directives. And so if we recall last year, we had a budget amendment, didn't have any money associated with it, and it required the University of Wyoming to meet with our junior colleges. And so what we had going on was that our kids are going to the junior college and trying to transfer their credits to the university, and guess what? They found they had an extra half a year, an extra year. And so then, guess where they went? Somewhere else. So we said, you will sit down and you will align your curriculum so you can transition from our junior colleges to our university and not lose out, not have that incentive to go to another institution. Guess what they did? They sat down and they aligned their curriculum. They solved the problem. And they did so relatively quickly. So, you know, whether we agree with these underlying initiatives or not, that's what we do. We're giving them the money. So from time to time, we got to say, hey, why don't you look at this? Okay? So that's my comment on that. So I don't think that's inappropriate for us.
Vice Chairwoman Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question back up on footnote 3 about the nursing program. And I just wanted to check because we've just been given the impression that these were all more expensive study ideas that they had, for example, in footnote 8, and that JAC cleverly said, well, study it first. And I would just point out then in footnote 3 that, to my knowledge, they've actually started doing this several years ago. They have a situation now with the nursing program such that the third year of the four-year program is also at the community colleges, and the fourth year is online. And I would just tell the body that I think actually the university is pretty much up and ready to go. And so by JAC saying, well, study it, I think what they will actually get is, here's a report of what we've already done, and too bad you just made us lose a year in actually continuing our implementation. So I just wanted to point that out.
Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back, I think the only pending question is the comment I made about modifying footnote 5 to expand the uses of recruitment funds to change the 2-to-1 match requirement to a 1-to-1 match. If you look on page 54 of your budget, there's quite a detailed description of what those funds are used for.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate all the information we're having, and especially appreciate this sheet that the appropriations chair handed out that gives us the emphasis on first we want to fund this, second this, and I put a bunch of information together of what we have done for the University of Wyoming over the last 10 years. The representative from House District 18, which was my old one, gets credit for this, but this should be 19 because this is me handing it out. It was pointed out to me, so that was an error I made. But if you look through this, I think it has a lot of good information of the funding of the University of Wyoming over the last 10 years and some things that are being asked for and some comments on the last one. So as we go through that budget amendment information, there's some information on the University of Wyoming. Thank you.
Any other discussion on Section 67? Vice Chairman Moniz?
If there are no further questions, Mr. Chairman, I'd move to close Section 67.
Question being called. All in favor of Section 67, University of Wyoming, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 67 is passed Committee of the Whole. We're now on to Section 77, Enterprise Technology Services. Representative Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move for that we adopt Section 077, Enterprise Technology Services. We did two different things here. There was a request for a transfer of two positions that were going to go over to a different agency, but they didn't request the denial of those funds for those two positions. So we took those funds for those two positions and took those out of their budget. Then, if you recall, as a part of the new capital structure and the capital renovation, we had to move the computer program to the data center and to move to a different location. That was originally estimated to cost about $1.5 million. Now that they've put the package together, got the bids in, that the price has gone down to almost $1 million. And so we adopted the Gov's rec of the lower amount now of $1.08
million. Representative Greer.
Nope.
Any other discussion on Section 77? Question being called. All in favor of Section 77, Enterprise Technology Services, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 77 is passed, committee of the whole. We're on to Section 80, Department of Corrections, Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Department 80, or Section 80 of House Bill 1. This is the Department of Corrections. Two items here to note, and I think, first of all, we have to realize these were programs that were funded in a biennial budget for 1 year. They came in with a biennial request. JAC during that budget said, we're going to fund you for 1 year and then come back and report to us. Well, they did come back and report. And these funds are just simply the second year funding. And those are for the split sentencing and then the adult community correction placements. And just so that what we're seeing, both of these were governor's recs. So first with the adult community correction placements, again, this is just that second year funding. We got a report back that this program has a much higher success rate than just keeping somebody in prison and putting them out on parole. Those success rates are 43% and then 58% for post-prison placements. What we've got here, in particular in the women's prison, is a real shortage of beds. And this program is at a cost of approximately $49 a day. The person has the opportunity to go out and work. They pay an additional $15 a day. And this really is one-third the cost of keeping somebody in prison in that particular program. So that report that came back to JAC said, hey, this program's working. It's helping us with crowding in our prisons, and this is something we need to move forward with. As far as the split sentencing, now that's where an individual, I can't even remember the exact term, that minor felons is the wrong term, but non-dangerous felons, less dangerous felons, have the opportunity to split their sentence, stay in the county, a year in county jail, then go out on a supervised probation. Again, it's a great cost reduction. It's also found that it has a very high success rate. We've talked about a lot of numbers here, and I can't rattle that success rate. 86% success rate in this particular program, so very high. Some of that's you're keeping the people in their own communities, near their family, near their support system. So went out 1 year. She funded for 1 year, report back with good success, good cost savings to the state, and we're just funding it for this next year. Again, it'll come up in the next biennial budget for continuation. I'll stand for any questions.
Further discussion on Section 80? Question being called. All in favor of Section 80, Department of Corrections, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 80, Department of Corrections, has passed Committee of the Whole. We're now on the Section 101, Supreme Court. Looking for possibly an attorney to present Section 101, Supreme Court. The non-attorney, right, Vice Chairman Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 101, Supreme Court, page 15 on your detailed summary sheet, and page 67 on the budget bill. Mr. Chairman, the JAC adopted the
Supreme Court's recommendation of $100,000 in special revenue for the expansion of their legal aid program. JAC adopted the Supreme Court's recommendation of $400,000 for one-time costs associated with the data migration and moved it to Section 345 contingent appropriations from investment earnings and derived in fiscal year 2015. So you'll see that again later. And then, Mr. Chairman, JAC modified footnote 1 to allow matching funds to be transferred as funds are received. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that Supreme Court will stand for any questions.
Discussion on Section 101. Question being called. All in favor of Section 101, Supreme Court, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 101, Supreme Court has passed Committee of the Whole. We're on to Section 167, UW Medical Education. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Folks, we did three different things with the UW Medical Education. All of our cost neutral. Basically, the first thing we did was we allow them to expend 100 series on their contract services to make sure that they can have the right staffing for either the doctor or the whoever that particular educational person is or provider for under the WAMI program. Number two, then we redirected. There was a refund of approximately $800,000. Into the system that was repaid back by certain WAMI participants by when they did not come back to Wyoming, and so they had to refund the program. So these are refund dollars that are coming back, and what this does is allow those funds to be used for our incoming WAMI folks, for particularly for some of them that are going to have to remain in Laramie for an extra year as on the new program and how it's changing with the good university with the other W over on the West Coast, and so it provides funds for those new students. And then finally, we just denied the Gov's rec for $180,000 of general funds for a nurse practitioner program. That had to do with scholarships for that program. And once again, we're just trying to be as prudent and fiscal responsible as of our dollars as we can, and we can't have money for everybody or for all things. And so if there are any questions, I'd ask for the question.
Question being called on Section 167, UW Medical Education. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 167, UW Medical Education has passed Committee of the Whole. We're on to Section 205, Education School Finance. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, on page 16 of your detailed summary sheet, and Mr. Chairman, that is on page 70 of your budget bill. And members, what you can read the note on your summary sheet. Note, there's just one note, and I've emailed out here last week a more detailed comparison of ECAs for school finance. You can see in the governor's rec it is $15 million. And the note down there shows you JAC reduced the Gov's letter number 2 recommendation of $15 million out of S5 School Foundation to $11.3 million in expenditures and $3.7 in reduced revenues. That reduced revenues is really reduced recapture payments to the School Foundation program, because we have those 10 districts that actually produce more wealth than what they need for their own local needs, so it flows back to the state. And as we raise that guarantee amount, then less of it flows back to the state, so it's a reduced revenue. But the amount is $15 million. And then and we reduce that to $4.69 million for the external cost adjustment of the Education Resource Block Grant and modified the footnote, and it results in reduced revenues of $1.1 million. So it's a little confusing the way that's written, but if you take the $4.69 million and the $1.1 million, that is the amount that the JAC added, $5.8 million roughly, to this year's budget to the ECA. So the governor, we're about $9.2 million difference between the governor's recommendation and the JAC's recommendation on an increase over last year's budget. And again, I've sent that, and we can more detailed information. Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Vice Chairman Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of quick questions. One,
Are we doing recalibration next year, or if not, when are we doing it, and how will that affect these numbers? And two, how does this compare to what the model calls for? Because I know we have the model for the funding for salaries. Are we currently above the model, below the model? Does this get us in line with the model? Just curious as to that. Thank you.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question here. On the bill itself, on page 73, let's see, lines 4 through 9 and 11 through 16, I see that language is crossed out. And thank you for giving me this education, because that attachment A took me about 3 hours to try to find. And I guess you have to go back to 2011 House Bill 127 to see that attachment A. And then back in 2012, Senate File 90 also addressed it. And in our current statutes, 21-13309O has that language in it. And my question is, on the next page, let's see, lines 5 through 12 and 14 through 21 is that same language, only with different percentages. And that, the way I understand it, that's in statute now, so we're actually changing the statute. So wouldn't we have to do that in a bill or no?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'll start with the last questions first by the representative from the middle of the state, and was really asking about, I think on page 73 of the bill, paragraph B and paragraph C that are crossed out. And then if you flip over, you see new language on educational materials on paragraph B, and then paragraph A, non-professional labor. And really, when we do an ECA, there's four components to this. So you have professional staff, non-certified staff, the materials, and then I believe it's energy, thank you, utility costs. And so what these reflect are changes that we made to different components of the ECA. And I sent that out, I think, in that spreadsheet. But, for example, the JAC, we did not make any recommendations on the professional staff component of the model. That's why it's not in this budget. We only made recommendations on non-professional staff, and you can see the percentages change slightly. And that is on page 74, paragraph A. And then also the educational materials we made changes to, and that's on page 74, line 15, paragraph B. Those were the main two of the four areas that we adjusted in the ECA. And that's why you see it in this bill. Now, your question about going back to page 72, what attachment A is, and attachment A is really the whole funding model, and it spells out all the components for every district. And it is so long that we wouldn't put it in the budget bill, and we refer to it as attachment A. And you referenced, well, that's the way it was in 2009. You're correct. That's what we called it back in 2009, and then we updated it in the new budget. And so these aren't statutes that go on forever. These are simply budget law that expire every 2 years. And so that's why we continually update it. We continually change it. And it's always in this budget bill under this section of school finance. So that's why that part is there. The good representative from the middle of state asked about recalibration. That is going to occur this interim. And there is an amendment in this bill later that will, we set up the recalibration committee just like we've done on the previous two recalibrations. It's a 10-person deal. We spell out who's on it. You can see that, and we'll cover that, I think, more tomorrow. But recalibration will occur during this interim. And also, just looking at just what we know about recalibration, the reports I've seen. 5 years ago, we did I wouldn't call it a desk audit, but not a full extensive recalibration, because our monitoring process of all these moving cost components, because remember, our education system should be based on the actual cost, really deemed that we probably didn't need a full-scale recalibration. Well,
I think the reports that I just read came out last week that we're really closer to a full recalibration now as we go into this, examining really all parts of the model in depth and what are the true costs of education. So that's going to happen in the interim. It's going to be a ton of work, and we're going to all be involved in it at some point. And then the question was about the model. Are we overfunding and underfunding and those kind of things? It's a lot of debate about this because what's really the terms as I see it, and this is one out of 90 seeing this, but I was here, I think there was only about four of us left on the floor when we first went to this kind of funding model back in 05. The consultants came back with a funding model, and it passed constitutional muster, cost base. And then in the legislative process, we said, you know, we want to give a little richer funding of small school adjustments. See, not in the consultant's model, not every small school had its own principal. You know, they recognize you'd share principals throughout the district, and because we have some very tiny schools. Well, we said, no, we want every school to be resourced with a principal. I think the consultant said I think it was maybe 18 or 19 students per teacher, K through 6. Well, we said, no, we want that at 16, or maybe the recommendation was 17, and we said 16, K through 6. I don't have all this exact, but this is kind of how the model got changed. Maybe the consultant said 22, we said we want 20, 21 in our middle school, so we fund that at that. We funded summer school and extended day. We funded instructional facilitators. All those things, we made legislative decisions and passed in the law. So you hear this thing, is the model overfunded? Well, there's a consultant model that's at this level, and then there's a legislative model that's at this level. And I think the arguments you're going to hear, some will say, yeah, we're overfunding the consultant model, so we don't need to put anything in the ECA. The folks who want to hire ECA will probably say, we are underfunding the law, the legislative model, and that is the law. And that's the debate we're going to have there, and that's how I tee it up. And I'm not right now taking one side or the other on that, but that's how I see the debate. We have a legislative model, and that's what's in our statutes, and that's what we're going to wrestle with over the next coming weeks. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you. I'm just curious because the good chairman really brought up some interesting points on the recalibration model. And so we had, if I'm understanding that correctly, we had a recalibration. We didn't make any ECA adjustments, or didn't require any ECA adjustments, or recommend would probably be the more appropriate term. We've got this recalibration effort that's going to be coming on over the interim. What was the basis, what evidence was there that was brought forth and by whom that convinced you that an ECA was actually required to put into the supplemental budget? And then to a follow-up to that would be, I'm assuming that these would be ongoing forever and ever and ever funds too, and wouldn't be one-time funding.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think to answer the good representative from the middle of the state, and I think if you look on the budget bill on page 74, what your JAC looked at when we looked at the numbers were that, yes, there could be an adjustment to the non-professional labor pool, so we adjusted that on page 74, and we also saw that educational materials had changed. We did not support that with the professional staff, and we had handled that differently last year. We had granted a smaller ECA, but then we put $6 million into that salary and said this can only be expended for salaries. So we deviated a little bit from that because, as you know, the ECA, it's a block grant, and not all of it, even though we say this should go to professional salaries and this should go to certified salaries, it doesn't have to. Local elected school boards decide the spending model. We just decide the funding model. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And just to the last question, but prior to 2010, and if I'm wrong, Matt will shake his head at me over there, but prior to 2010, they had one inflation index. And so when they did that desk audit in 2010, they decided to go, the recalibration committee decided to go to this four-component indice, but they would only look at that as one, and what the recalibration committee came out with is that's one thing we'd look at, but we would also look at cost pressures on teachers. And so based upon those two things, every year the education committee gets a report, a monitoring report of the cost basis of education. And then based upon that, your joint education committee makes a recommendation to JAC whether they view there should be a ECA or not an ECA. And so you take testimony from districts and you look at the numbers and you look at all of these factors that we're allowed to look at, and then we make a recommendation, the JEC makes a recommendation. Year before last, or last year, JEC made a recommendation to JAC to fund an ECA based upon those components, whatever those components were. JAC then came back, and this was a year ago, and they said, no, we're going to cut that back a bit, but we're providing teacher bonuses. And so there were all these things that came out. And so this year, once again, your JEC made a recommendation for an ECA. JAC said, you know, no, based upon this, we're going to grant this. And so what you're seeing is those adjustments that JAC made to JEC, and then the battle that will commence on Tuesday will be whether that was the appropriate step or not. So I hope that clarifies. If anybody has any questions, Matt is here. Matt understands that model better than anybody, and so he's kind of round in the back if you have questions. I think by now I understand it fairly well, so, you know, I will handle questions.
The Matt he'd be referring to is hiding behind the wall here. Vice Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The monies we're talking about here for the ECA look to me like they come from S5, which is a school foundation program account. So at some point, I'd like the good chairman or member of the committee to kind of give us an overview of where that account stands at, available funds, et cetera, like that, so we can have an actual discussion or folks can actually know where we are. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to have a discussion on, I'm looking at a spreadsheet here that was passed out, I think, by the Appropriations Committee, and it's got three tables on it. One is this current law, which is passed last year. One is the Joint Appropriations Committee recommendations in the session, and then the other one is the governor's recommendations, which I understand was mirrored pretty close to the Joint Education Committee's recommendations. But anyway, I'm focusing my attention on the bottom table here where they talk about the ECA percent. And because it's, you know, the numbers are, you know, out to three decimal places, it makes me think that it's got some foundation to it that goes beyond just being a mere guess at it. And, for example, the ECA of 2.675, we need to know what that was based on. When I was on the education committee, they had some analysts come in there and say what the purchasing or what the cost of a teacher is now compared to a professional person is now compared to a year ago. And, you know, I think they charge us a lot of money to give us that particular percent, and I assume they're still doing that. And likewise, 2.375 for non-professional staffs based on some kind of research and investigation of some type, and all the way down to energy is 4.77. Now, we go back up to the Joint Appropriations Committee's ECA, and they come up with different numbers. And it you know, by coincidence or whatever amount or whatever reason, the ECA by the Joint Appropriations Committee is 1.725, which is approximately half of what the findings were by the Joint Education Committee. So what I think before we pass on this particular budget, we need to know whose numbers are right, and do we have an obligation to abide by the appropriate ECA? I remember talk being expressed in here that there was a court case that when this was settled, that we were part of the condition of the court case that we had to recognize the changes in costs of this, you know, they called it a basket of goods, I think, or something in the lawsuit, but it had to be recognized. And, you know, last year, when we were doing this, we had a different number, abandoned that number and put in a smaller number. And I don't know what the foundation of that was, and then they were going to take it out and call it a bonus or something, and we probably shouldn't have let that go out last year, but we did. And I guess I'm trying to find out what the right number is, but I'm pretty sure that one of these two numbers has got to be wrong. Either the ECA for professional staff is 1.725 or it's 2.675. It can't be two numbers for the same variable. So I hopefully we can get some discussion, and if Mr. Wilmarth can do it, I'd be happy to hear from him.
Other discussion on Section 205 for today? Question being, Chairman Harshman, do you have more discussion?
Just a real quick answer to the indices that the good chairman, the economist from the Bighorns, asked. And if you look on page 73, we have indices, and he's correct. You know, back in 05, because we were directed, we thought, by the third branch of government on the court rulings to pick an indice and stay consistent with it. And I remember our first ECA meeting must have been the fall of 06, maybe 07, and we met and we looked at all the different indices we could pick, and we actually picked the lowest one, the lowest adjusted one. It's called the Educational Workers Index. And then we said, okay, this is going to be the one we're going to pick. And then we came back the next year, and that was the highest one. And so then we did go with that again. And then we went a couple, and this is 06, 7, 8. And we recalibrated in 10, and we refined the index, the indices. And you'll see those, to answer the good revenue chairman, on the bottom of 73, Bureau of Labor Statistics, on line 23, Bureau of Labor Statistics Producer Price Index for Commercial Natural Gas. So that's the indice for energy. And then if you flip over, members of page 74, line 11, inflationary value produced by the 2014 Wyoming High School Comparable Wage Index, and that's for the non-professional labor. And then if you look at line 20 on page 74, the Bureau of Labor Statistics Producer Price Index for Office Supplies and Accessories. So we've tried to kind of hone these indices so we can tell what's happening within the model instead of just using a big number called Educational Workers Index when maybe energy prices, the cost of energy was dropping or materials or those kind of things. So that's the point behind it. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I can't help it. That's true, but understand that since 2010 until last year, there really had not been an ECA applied, and that's because of the decision made by that recalibration committee that you look at these. If you decide you're going to do an ECA, you look at these four indices, but you also look at the cost pressures on teacher salaries. So it's kind of a decision. It's a very waffly decision you can make every year. But the fact is, until that was applied, I don't think there's been one since 2010 until last year. So I just want to make it clear. These indices, these four indices, two of them are based on Wyoming-based indices. Two of them are national-based indices because materials is a national commodity. It's a national market, and so is utilities. So that's just a little further explanation.
Further discussion on Section 205. Question having previously been called. All in favor of Section 205, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Section 205 is passed committee of the whole. We're now in the Section 206, Department of Education. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just made one small change, and it was actually after on Agency 206. I'd move 206. and that is on page 17 of your summary sheet. And, Mr. Chairman, if I can get to, I don't know if I can even find that page, but here's what we did, Mr. Chairman, is that you can read note number one on your summary. And this was after this bill passed this House. And so we thought on the House Appropriations Committee, we'd try to reflect the will of this body. And so we basically modified footnote number three and put a repealer in there for House Bill 23, and that's dealing with the science standard. So I'd stand for any questions.
Questions on Section 206? Question being called. All in favor of Section 206, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 206, Department of Education, is passed Committee of the Whole. We're now on to Section 211, Board of Equalization. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 211 and ask for your favorable consideration, and that's on page 17 of your summary sheet and 84 of your bill. You'll see we added in $7,000. We had, through the budget cuts, I think 2 years ago, really taken out most of the training dollars that the Board of Equalization had in their budget. The testimony was that there is a turnover of at least one and possibly two of the three members of the Board of Equalization, and given that turnover, they needed some monies for training to get those new folks up to speed. So that's the $7,000 that we added to the budget. And it was not a governor's recommendation. This came out through our hearings and through testimony in our hearings. So I'd take any questions. If there are no questions, I'd call for the question.
Question being called on Section 211, Board of Equalization. All in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 211, Board of Equalization, is passed Committee of the Whole. We're back to Section 46, Mixed Martial Arts Board. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 46, Mixed Martial Arts Board, page 18 of your detailed summary sheet and page 85 of your bill. Mr. Chairman, the JAC simply removed footnote number 2 from the 2012 session laws, which required the agency to repay to the state $10,000 from its initial appropriation to establish the board. The JAC felt that this requirement was unfair, as it was only put on this particular board and no other. And if there are no questions, I'll close Section 46.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Help me understand, when we formed this board, and I guess I can't find what SR stands for again. Okay, special revenue. I think when we formed this, we said there would be no funds from the state going in there. Is that correct, and help me understand this, please.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, they're making me laugh back here. That's not fair. So, Mr. Chairman, we have many, many boards that are similar to this one, and I served on the TRW committee at the point that this board was established, and it was established like every other, where there is a cost for starting up the board, just so that we can accept money, that we can promulgate the rules and regs, things like that. What happened with this particular board is that they had some weird, to be honest, they had some weird elements with their first year and the bouts that they were having and the money that they were taking in, and they had to carry cash in. It was causing all sorts of confusion, but because of that, they were coming by, and they were coming by and saying that they were doing so well. Well, it appeared because they, to be honest, were bragging that they were doing so well, unlike any other board. They were told to repay the initial money that it took to establish that board. Well, as luck would have it, they no longer are doing all that well in terms of making money with their bouts, in that they are truly kind of acting as a volunteer board, and they do not have any kind of profit at all to repay this initial funds, and so came to the JAC and asked that this requirement be taken off. And again, they are the only board of many that we have that have ever been asked to repay.
Further discussion on Section 46? Question being called. All in favor, Section 46, Mixed Martial Arts Board, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Section 46 has passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report with respect to the action taken today in Committee of the Whole on Budget Bill, House Bill 1.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carried.
The reading clerk will read today's action on the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Speaker, with respect to the budget bill, House Bill 1, the Committee of the Whole took action as follows. Section 2, 4, 6, 7, 10, 14, 15, 20, 24, 27, 45, 48, 49, 51, 53, 60, 66, 67, 77, 80, 101, 167, 205, 206, 211, 46, all due pass recommendation was passed for today's action on House Bill 1, signed by Representative Dan Zwanasser, Chairman.
Representative Zwanasser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of today's action on the budget bill.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Congratulations. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 216, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 8, Landowner Indemnification, Ice 30-0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 217, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 10, Education State Authorization Reciprocity Agreement, Ayes 30, no 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 218, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 57, Health Insurance, Medical Necessity Reviews. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows. Ayes 30, no 0, and the Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting those amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 219, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 71, Nursing Education Programs. Ayes 30, no 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 220, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the House and Senate passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 145, Hospital Uncompensated Care, Ayes 19, Noes 11, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 14, Electronic Citations, the House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, noes 4. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Bill, would you the floor?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I introduced my father to you this morning, and now my mother is here in the back gallery, also Kellen Little. Hi. Her and Kellen have been over at the livestock board all day today, and it is her birthday. So happy birthday, Mom.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred
Senate Joint,
Number 2, Engrossed Investment of State Funds, respectfully reports sending back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 63, Engrossed, Predator Ownership, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass for the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman.
Committee announcements. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Justice, and Economic Development, will meet Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, room H18, to consider Senate File 117, Air Quality Construction Permitting. And if I may, privilege of the floor.
Please.
Just a reminder on the prayer breakfast that will be at Egg and I tomorrow morning at 6:30.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your very special committee, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet in 10 minutes in room H17, where we will consider Senate File 31, Department of Health Reports Cleanup, and Senate File 102, Engrossed Medical Billing Provisional Providers.
Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess and or adjournment to hear the following three bills, Senate File 35, 36, and 70, and we're going to hear them in whichever order works based on when we adjourn, because everyone has different schedules. So if you have one of those bills, 35, 36, or 70, show up as soon as we recess.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. This is going to be your first meeting after your holiday, so pay attention. 7 a.m. we'll consider the two bills, Senate File 46, Fire Misdemeanors, Senate File 4, Dry Bean Research.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Tuesday, February 17th, upon noon recess in room H8 to consider the following bills, Senate File 77, Senate File 94, Senate File 106, and Senate File 18.
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee education will meet in House 10 to hear Senate File 10, which will be Education Administration, right after adjournment.
Vice Chairman Esquivel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Me and co-chair of the Race for the Cure, Chairman Lockhart, just wanted to put out a reminder that if you've lost your registration form for the race, the gal singing this morning reminded us that it hits just about every county in the state. And you did get that fact sheet. If your county's not listed on here, part of that grant program, let me know, and I'll find out why. There may not be somewhere where those screenings are available in certain counties, but it looks like most of the counties are listed here. So that's just a reminder, the way we started the day, the way we ended the day.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give you a couple of announcements. I thought we should go over your schedule quick, so if you'd like to write it down. But first off, tomorrow morning, that'll be 8 a.m. And then when you come back on February 17th, 9 a.m. gavel in. I'm going to try to have something to email out to you, but I thought as you're planning your calendar, you would like to know that. And then on February 18th, 10 a.m., February 19th, 9 a.m., and February 20th, 10 a.m., your start times. All right? And the next thing, we'll have a general file come out, too. As you know, we'll continue on House Bill 1 for the general file tomorrow. But just in case we're super efficient, we may start our regular general file. So I want to give you the list. And that will be starting with general file. And these are Senate bills now. So it's Senate File 20, 37, 64, 33, 38, 23, House Joint Resolution 2, Senate File 12, 60, 25, 6, and 34. One more time. Senate File 20, 37, 64, 33, 38, 23, House Joint Resolution 2, Senate File 12, 60, 25, 6, and 34. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 8 a.m. tomorrow, February 12th, 2015.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Representative Blake.
Adjourned.